If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm a little flower. Watch me as I grow into so many, many colors. Flower, power.
Bean, 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 bean.
Asperger's syndrome is a mild and rare form of autism. It is typically characterized by difficulty establishing friendships and playing with peers, trouble accepting conventional social rules, and they dislike any change in setting or routine.
Oh, Bean, I wish I knew how to quit you.
My girlfriend thinks I smoke too much pot. I, on the other hand, think I don't smoke enough pot. Because if I did, I'd be finished, and I'm not.
I realize you guys are funnier. And I smoke a fat-ass bowl.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana's bad, okay?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Roll another one, just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to quit, and I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How much more black could this be? And the answer is none.
Roll another one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just like the other one.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Alright. Are you high? I am.
Every minute that you're smoking weed, you're killing your brain cells. You're taking something away from yourself. You know, you're taking a minute off of your life that you could have been here on this earth, that you could have done something special.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Our feature presentation.
No, he believes that.
he does.
He really believes that.
But you does. But every minute that you're not smoking pot is a minute you're taking away from being high.
That's true.
So you got that as well. You got to balance those
what
two
do
things.
You do?
Kevin,
he made a choice.
Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 14th of Slut-tember.
Slut! 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 Slut!
It's about time somebody spoke about the terrorist that is Dave the King of Mexico.
Oh, yeah. What?
The king.
Came walking into the office this morning, and he's like, "Who stole my pen?" And I was like, "Dude, somebody keeps stealing my pen. Who the hell stole my pen?" I said, "You mean the one that's on the floor right behind you that you just dropped?" Oh.
Well, now, how does that make him a terrorist?
He terrorizes all of us here at K-Rock.
Oh, that got it.
That's how it makes it.
Dave, what's up with you and pens?
Dude.
He has dropped it like 30 seconds before.
There's only so many Papermate pens here that are blue. And these rock.
The blue. It's the blue.
It's the blue Papermate pen.
No, you're not.
Well done, Dave.
There's only a certain amount here, and everyone keeps stealing my pens, and I have to punch people
right
to get them back.
Uh-huh. And what happened this morning?
Yeah, what happened to be on the floor?
You dropped it.
It was my fault.
Did someone steal it?
No.
Did you apologize to everybody you yelled at?
I said sorry.
There's hardly anybody
for yelling
here this morning.
But what makes them yours?
The fact that I use them and they're mine and I save them for me.
Do you own nothing of them?
Do you buy them?
Percentage of your ownership.
No.
Do you purchase
but
them?
But I do get them from the supply office and say, "Hey, I need pens. Here's my pens."
And where
these
do you
mine
put your pens when you leave work?
In my little thingy right there on the desk.
Wow,
old pens.
But no, that's
did
not
somebody order Mexican?
These are mine.
Not really hidden there.
Mine.
Know?
No, my desk, my pens. Don't touch them.
Nobody else ever goes to that
no
desk?
No one else ever touches them. Well, I mean, just me and Ralph, but Ralph uses black and I use blue.
You just doomed your pens, by the way, by saying nobody touch them.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're not walking down the bean road, though, are you? I mean, you're firmly following in Bean's, you know, footprints.
When I'm at work, these are the only ones I use. Anywhere else, I use anything else. But these are for work.
Yeah.
They just f***ed with the wrong Mexican.
That's even more ridiculous. Either you love him all the time or you don't.
No,
at least Bean's
perfect.
Consistent, whether he's, you know, in Vegas or at home or here or wherever. You never use anything but blue. No. But he's like Rain Man. Blue pen. Gotta use blue pen. Blue pen.
Anywhere else,
like I'm
going to
get a rash if I use something other than blue. I just feel all tingly and itchy and icky.
Yeah. It's gotten much worse, though. Bean used to just prefer blue.
Yeah.
But if there was a black around, not anymore, man. He can't take it. And now Dave's going down that road.
Man, I write a lot here, so.
So what? A pen is a pen.
This pen.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if this would work for you, but you might try what I do when I come to K-Rock, which is bring a pen with me. I just actually have a pen in my stuff that I bring back and forth to work if I have to go.
It certainly would support your claim of it being your pen a little more.
Well, no, these are on my clipboard. I got them on my little pen holders.
See, I don't think Dave has stuff. I think he comes in with his keys, and that's it.
Right.
Well, I leave stuff here,
where's he going to put a pen?
Then don't claim you own them. Where's he going to put a pen? What is that? What do you need to get to shopping cart for a pen?
Bean has something that he puts pens in. Dave does not.
Well, and I fill out all the paperwork to order new headphones when we need them. Does that make them my headphones? I mean, K-Rock pays for them, and they stay here. At the end of the day,
if they're the show's headphones.
These aren't the show's pens.
Right.
These are my pens.
How are they your pens? You understand what I'm saying? You say because they're yours because you walk to the mailroom and get them?
You realize I go to supply closet specifically for these pens, and I go, I need these pens.
I fill out the paperwork specifically for the headphones you're wearing. Does that make them mine?
No, but we use them all. You use them all the time, right?
Right, but they're not his.
Well, we're not going to share the pens.
But the
this poor guy pens. Can't help it. He's Mexican.
But his point is, at least he orders the headphones. That means he's got more ownership over the headphones than you have over the pens. You don't order the pens.
He orders the headphones for everybody. I get
and
these pens for me.
The pens are ordered for everybody, too.
No.
You happen to be in that closet.
Yes, but I get them from the supply closet. They're mine.
It doesn't say Fat Mexican Supply Closet. It says K-Rock Supply Closet.
Do you go to Supply Closet?
I don't need to.
Yes, right. You don't need them. I do.
You know why I don't need
to? I'm going to take a recess right now because I'm so mad at both of you guys. I'm about to hold both of you in contempt.
My pants. Don't touch them.
Not a very good start to the show.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
Guys, guys, guys! Don't you see this is just what the terrorists want us to do? The war is out there, man, out there! Now pull it together!
That's right.
Good advice.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, because trying to out-logic Dave is impossible.
Well, we've already peaked. Everything else on the program will be just a disappointment compared to that.
But I'd just like further clarification. You dropped your pen this morning. No one stole it.
I did, and I apologize.
Get out. Get out.
Bye.
Get out. All right, it's Friday morning. We got Paramore in studio. Woo! They're going to be performing live.
Very excited.
You listen to album yet, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's way good, right?
I've had it in my car for a while. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Riot is the name of it. They're going to be here. They're going to play live. And, of course, tomorrow they're going to be on the K-Rock LA Invasion, speaking of which, we have more tickets for that. And really, it's by popular demand. We have finally caved everywhere we go, you know, whether it be the drugstore, the supermarket, everywhere we go. People say, Kevin and Bean, please whistle the hits again. So we say, all right, fine. If that'll shut you up, we'll whistle the hits.
Good.
Also today we have Emil Hirsch from Into the Wild, which I believe opens a week from today.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm not mistaken. Movie Beat, it's Friday morning. Joe Rogan will be here.
Uh-oh. That sounds like problems.
I think we'll just have some subjects that we don't discuss. Don't you think?
Man not landing on the moon is not one of them.
Right.
All right.
That's my idea.
That's some good ground rules, I think.
You really think he's not going to walk in the door and first words out of his mouth as soon as you turn on the microphone are going to be about the moon landing?
Yeah,
I don't want any more yelling.
No, it happens.
Enough yelling already.
No.
I'm going to cry.
This show is all about yelling.
No.
You got to have thicker skin than that,
it's
Lisa.
Friday. Can we just be happy?
Have we ever been happy?
No.
All right, then.
Lisa,
can we pretend
we can all get along.
Good families?
If we'll just admit that man landing on the moon was a hoax, that it was faked by somebody, maybe the government.
Actually, we might need to start with that. and then we can move on and have a normal interview. Otherwise,
Joe Rogan, we were wrong. We should have learned from a comedian that the space program was fake. That's what we'll say. That's how we'll start. I don't know what we were thinking to doubt you, but you're right and we're wrong. Oh, and the whole world's wrong too.
Okay, this is going to go well.
And also, your cell phone accidentally dialed someone. Well, actually, it wasn't accidentally. It's just unintentionally. You didn't dial them. Your cell phone in your pocket or whatever ends up dialing somebody, and it went terribly south for you.
In my defense, and I know you guys are going to make fun of me because this happens sometimes, imagine how much I've got going on in my pants. I mean, it's hard for stuff to not hit stuff, if you know what I'm saying.
Bean's phone dialed lightning, and we were trying to figure out the other day in the office what the hell he was doing while...
Because we heard the whole thing. It was like 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
I wonder where I was.
A lot of stuff going on.
Don't know.
Was I paying a woman at any point in the tape?
Yeah, we were trying to determine that. Seemed like you were paying an animal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
If you know what I'm saying. All right, so anyway.
I hope I don't.
We have some audio of that so that the K-Rock listeners can judge for themselves. And then we'll take your calls in the 6 o'clock hour about your cell phone accidentally dialed while you were with another girl. Psycho Mike has one of those stories from way back in the day.
Supposed to be at work, maybe. Instead, maybe at the beach more than at work. That can come back and not be good for you.
It's like your cell phone's telling on you. It knows that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and it wants to put you back on the straight and narrow. So that's coming up this morning. Plus, Dave owns everything here at K-Rock. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Kevin, it's our final day of having to fill in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. It'll be so great to have him back next week.
Why? We're really good at this.
People have been concerned, especially these days. Anytime a voice goes silent on the air, they assume he's been fired. But no, this isn't one of those deals. This isn't like the Russian history books where they edit you out and airbrush you out of all the photos if you didn't exist.
We're all going to be back on Monday and happy and healthy.
Actually, no, we're going to be on vacation.
I know, I'm just trying
to... I can't work with Garbutt. Are you kidding me? Here's a great story to start with. And I don't know why they would even do a poll like this, and I've certainly never heard of the McCormick Tribute Foundation, but they surveyed people and asked, which fictional motion picture or TV hero would you want with you in the event of an actual disaster? Who would you want by your side? Would you want Bruce Willis's character from Die Hard? Would you want Matt Damon from The Bourne Identity? Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible? Who would you want by your side if you were actually in real trouble, some sort of disaster? What do you suppose the number one answer was with 27% people picking
this
person?
That's a good question because you got Bruce Willis' character in Die Hard. He can do anything.
And he's funny.
But then you got Jason Bourne. He can take on the entire CIA.
Right.
But without even knowing why.
He's not funny.
Well, I don't think you're looking for comedy as much as you're looking to have your life saved, Lisa. That's what really this is about.
Yeah, but if they're both good at saving your life, wouldn't you want someone to throw in a little comedy, too?
I guess.
Well, but clearly, in the end, actually, you need more than that. Jason Bourne, probably. You're right.
I pick, Pam Anderson from Barbed Wire. I mean, that's my pick.
Oh, I didn't realize we could go to that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's anyone a good choice. You want. Any fictional character you want. But who do you think number one is?
Homer Simpson.
Kevin Costner and Robin Hood.
Really?
What?
That's a joke, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
MacGyver, ladies and gentlemen.
MacGyver.
Richard Dean Anderson, number one, yeah.
That
27%.
That just tells me about who was surveyed.
Old people.
Yeah.
He is the legend, though. I mean, he is a guy, if you're in any situation and he can get a pin or a coat hanger or a lifesaver, I mean, he can figure out a way to get you out of there, you know?
I guess, but I'm just saying MacGyver hasn't been on in 20 years, has it?
No. I guess he does those commercials, I guess, still.
Oh, yeah,
but anyway, MacGyver was number one on the list.
People Magazine came out with their best dressed celebrity list of 2007.
Okay.
Beyonce.
Oh.
What? Huh? What?
Not for Beyonce, just for best dressed lists in general.
No, I know. But Beyonce's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Cameron Diaz walked into the category of the legs.
Yeah.
Katie Holmes made the list as the classic.
That's since she hooked up with Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem like it makes sense at all.
Now she's wearing the trench coats and
last
the
year,
trousers.
Friends star Jennifer Aniston topped the list, but last year they used a readers poll. This year they just picked.
Yeah.
They were tired of the readers. They didn't want to have their input this year. For the men, last year it was Justin Timberlake and David Beckham, and Beckham made the list again along with Terrence Howard, Johnny Depp, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, me.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Johnny Depp is a rumpled mess.
Johnny Depp looks like a hobo pirate. The worst dresser ever.
Yeah, but he's Johnny Depp.
Exactly.
I mean
it makes a difference.
Yeah. You know?
I didn't care about that list at all, but I did care about who was number one on the worst dress side. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not know.
Who's that?
Our own little Brit was number one.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Has to be, right? No competition. I mean, she may have been 1 through 10. I don't know. I didn't see it.
Because that's the whole year, right? That's not just the last week or two.
Right.
So that includes her shaving her head and all that stuff.
Oh, she's always a mess when she goes out, too. Hey, my girlfriend Vanessa Hutchins, and I say my girlfriend because she gets me closer to my sweet Zach from High School Musical. You know, she's supposed to be on Jay Leno last night, which I think at this point, good call going on Jay Leno. I mean, he handles those things pretty well. He gives you the platform to come out and, you know, be charming and get past the tragedy and speak about it so people don't hound you. And, of course, we're talking about Vanessa Hutchins and the naked photos that are all over the internet.
Right.
Well, she canceled. She didn't show up last night.
She didn't want to be asked about that.
Didn't want to talk about it. And that comes on the heels of, and I want to thank Carrick Lister Emily for sending me the update and the link, egotastic.com, which is another one of those celebrity blog sites and photos, news. Has new lesbian kissing photos featuring the High School Musical 2 star.
Now we're getting somewhere.
That's at least what I was told. When you click on them, though, they're not so much the lesbian pictures as they are the ones that all girls seem to take where they put their faces together and stick their tongues out.
No.
They're not actually kissing as much as they're
the same.
I know. I mean, it's good and all. I enjoyed them very much, but there has to be more. That's all I'm saying. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's not kissing.
Guess we'll see.
Because that's not kissing.
Girls actually kiss.
They do.
Right, and should.
So if that's your list and if that's your headline, girls kissing, it better be girls kissing.
Unfortunately, there is no truth to the rumors that there's a Vanessa Hutchins sex tape. That was also floating around hardcore yesterday, is that some of those nude pictures were actually stills from a video and blah, 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 blah. But apparently that is not true. But at the route she's going, it won't be long.
I got to tell you, I want to play poker with Pam Anderson. I want to play poker.
Is that a euphemism?
With Pam Anderson. It could be.
Poker? I don't even know her.
She was on Ellen DeGeneres on Wednesday. She said that she recently played poker with a well-known gambler in Las Vegas in a hotel room when she realized she was nearly $250,000 in the hole.
Oh, my God.
How could she ever make that up? Pam says the generous gent offered to let the debt go if she made out with him.
That's expensive making out.
She says she's now madly in love after paying off her debt in sexual favors.
No, no, no.
Yay!
Yes.
But isn't that illegal in the city of Las Vegas?
Not even in Las Vegas. No, that's the only place in the world. Well, technically. It's like fireworks are illegal on the 4th of July, technically.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying.
If she's looking for a partner to play poker, I'm in.
Poor!
I don't know, $250,000 is pretty rich for making out, but I guess now they're a couple, right? She won't say who it is, but...
Right. That's what she says.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, Shakira... Taking classes at UCLA. Where you been?
What?
How have you not signed up for that?
What's she taking?
She took a class called Intro to Western Civilization, made it to almost all the classes. After the semester was over, the professor found out it was Shakira, who, by the way, one of the biggest music stars in the world, had no idea it was her, didn't recognize her. I don't know if any of the other students did, but it seems like we would have heard about it before the class was over if people had known about it. But she, giving her hips a break, spending some summertime in the classroom, get a little education. Shakira. Huh.
She's a hot little midget.
She is.
Not bad. Charlize Theron's longtime boyfriend, Stuart Townsend, told People magazine that they are married.
Really?
They didn't have a church wedding, but they're married.
How long have they been married?
I don't know.
They've always said they would never marry. Remember, they were taking a stand that they would not marry until gays could marry. That was what they said.
I would like to play poker with Pamela Anderson and Charlize Theron, please. My dream threesome.
And in closing, we have some tape from last night's Jimmy Kimmel show. Kanye West, who, by the way, loves Kanye West, was on.
He does.
Yeah. And, there's been a lot of attention paid to his new CD called Graduation that just came out this week. And the reviews have been mixed. The sales have been good. Here's what Kanye had to say about that.
Get the press. The people are all that matters, right?
It's true, right?
And that's what I want to say. I want to shout out to the New York Post for giving me a negative write-up. And I want to mention also is 436. This first day, 436,000 first day. Entertainment Weekly for the negative write-up. I just want to say you don't matter. And Nobody's reading it. Nobody believes you. Nobody believes you.
Well, that's
you
right.
You said the album sucks. Does the album suck?
No!
You suck.
Here's the thing about Kanye West. He doesn't realize that everything is subjective when it comes to showbiz. So your album could be brilliant to you and all your fans, and still somebody else might hate it.
No, it's all just of that's you don't okay. like black people.
And by the way, when he says you don't matter, nobody, nobody is more bothered by a negative review than Kanye West.
Yeah, it matters more obviously. To Kanye than it matters to anybody else. You're absolutely right about that.
They matter to him more than anything in the world, and it drives him crazy. And he also shouted out to a couple of people who gave him positive reviews. It's all that matters to him.
I have heard the Kanye album, and it doesn't suck. It's not bad. It's not as good as his first two, though. I don't think it's a step up. Do you?
I think Stronger is really good. The song.
That's a good song. Yeah, but I mean,
but the CD overall is probably not quite as good as the last one, but still head and shoulders above most CDs, I think. I mean, I think he's really talented, but
he is.
I mean,
you do
have to come to a point where you realize not everybody's going to like you, no matter how good you do what you do. That's just the way it is. It's subjective.
Yeah.
True. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Walter Koenig is 71 years old today.
Ahead, warp factor 7, Captain.
I don't think that's him. I think this is Chekhov we're talking
Damn
about
it.
More than Sulu. But, right show from the Star Trek show. Morton Harkett is 48 today. You know the name?
Nope.
No.
Uh-huh. Come on.
No.
And talk about someone who looks rough for her age. How old do you think Amy Winehouse is? Today's her birthday.
I would say in her mid-50s.
That's about what she looks like. And she's aged right before our eyes. She looks twice as bad as she looked when we first found out about her a couple of years ago. Lisa, any idea? How old is Amy?
I'm going to guess 25.
Well, that's a great guess because she's 24. But she really does. She looks bad for 24.
So she's
rode hard and put up wet for 24. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, she's only like 2 years older than the Olsen twins. And look at her. She could be their mother. And earlier in the week, we talked about one of Britney Spears' kids turning one. That was little Jaden. Today, Sean is 2. So another kid that needs to make a run for the hills.
Yeah.
But, 2 years old today. And that's K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Is that our little friend Omar in the studio here this morning?
It is, you guys.
Here's
what?
The thing.
He's a fag.
What the hell did I ever do to you guys?
Here's the thing about Omar. He, you know, all of us have that person in showbiz that just makes you want to pull your hair out.
Sure.
I didn't even know who this chick was before Omar. And I mean, his hatred of her is unnatural. It's so extreme. Rachel Ray is what? She's on the Food Channel
she's
or something?
Cooking
yeah,
show?
She's some. She has some cooking show.
A cooking show.
I don't know.
Okay.
I hated her long before I even found out she had her own cooking show.
What do you hate her from?
From the clips I would see of her, like on you know entertainment shows or whatever, you know, like Access Hollywood or whatever. I would just see her. She's all giggly and ah. What the
hell?
Well,
I think where Omar lost it was when she moved from basic cable and a cooking show to a nationally syndicated daily talk show.
Oh,
and
see, then I didn't even realize she was doing that.
Yeah, now
she's got a show, and so now she's an actual like bona fide person that people have heard of, and she's on all the magazines, and she gets all the interviews and all the red carpets. So now Omar can't get away from her. It was easy to ignore her back when she was just a foodie.
But here's what's weird is that Omar and I mean, we probably watch a decent amount of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue, barely even who she is. I don't think I'd even recognize her on the street, and yet you want to take her out.
Then that bitch took my Wheat Thins. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's right. She was on a box of Wheat Thins. Her picture was on a box of Wheat Thins, and Omar literally tried to take it back to the grocery store and return it.
Yeah,
and
it was contaminated at that point.
And the guy said no, so he cut out the picture of her on his box. There was like 3 holes in the box of Wheat Thins.
Oh, what are you going to do if Rachel Ray ever does a movie with Tim Allen? How are you going to handle that?
Oh, my God.
So she was on Larry King last night.
Yeah.
And we made Omar watch it and bring in clips.
Yeah.
Because we thought it'd be funny.
It was torture.
Because we know
like
how much he loves
her. It was like nails on a chalkboard. It was insane.
Okay, right. so what were you talking about Larry King?
The show opens and Larry does a piece. He goes to her set. And this is how it kicks off.
How you been?
I'm okay.
Been eating well?
I'm alive. Yeah. No.
Look at you. You're too skinny.
What the hell? How you been? How you been? Why does everything have to be so loud? How you been? And you hear Larry react
like,
what the hell? Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with her?
And then by she starts off with, you're too skinny. He should have said, you're too fat.
Right, exactly.
But he's not
funny. You shouldn't yell at an old man anyway, by the way. You start making that much noise around Larry, you're likely to give him a heart attack.
It looked like he got freaked out, too.
He did. He stepped
back, you know? So then,
don't start old grandpa.
Yeah, right. So then Larry asked her if she cooks something new every day.
Do you always cook something new every day?
Oh, my gravy, yes, of course, yeah.
My gravy?
Oh, my gravy.
Okay, I now hate her as much as you
my
do.
My gravy? Really?
Oh, my gravy.
You're a grown woman. My gravy, that's what you're doing?
Oh, my gravy.
Jesus Christ, man. Okay, now the freaking retard is showing Larry how her set is like a real home.
You know how you know this is a real home? It's got a real junk drawer. Complete with takeout menus.
She finds herself so freaking funny. Not like a prop guy took some takeout menus and put it in the freaking door. Because that's not possible, because that's not what happened. Oh, we have menus here. She finds herself so freaking funny. And the other thing that I can't stand is that there's not one moment during the whole freaking interview when she's not having that fake smile on.
Oh, I know. That's what drives me crazy,
too,
since you pointed her out.
She always has a fake smile. No matter what it is, she never has a straight face. So fake.
Did you call her the retard? Is that what I heard a minute ago?
Yes, yeah, retard, okay. Rater, whatever you guys want to use, feel free.
I don't consider that a downside.
Nope.
Not ready for that yet? No, not yet. Okay, so now Larry King asked her if she considers being in tabloids a downside.
I don't consider that a downside. I really don't.
No, I don't. Write about your marriage. You don't consider that a downside.
When John and I were reported to be getting a divorce, like in the midst of it, we were having our only weekend off of the whole summer, and John was making me a margarita, you know. And a friend texted me, "Oh my God, I just heard. I'm so sorry." If that's the only downside to the greatest life, I mean, my life is better than winning 10 lotteries.
Shut up! Yeah. Your life is better than winning 10 lotteries? I don't think so. Okay? And, okay, a friend of yours hears that you're getting divorced.
Yeah.
Okay? Are you really going to call? Are you going to call or are you going to text? You would call that person if somebody's going through a divorce. You're not going to text. She had a friend. Oh, they're having margaritas, and I got a text from a friend. Lying, liar.
Wow.
Okay?
You don't even believe the story.
No.
Hey, I have another question, by the way. Why do you need to win 10 lotteries? Why can't you just win one that's bigger?
Because she's so fat, she needs 10 lotteries to support her fatness.
Isn't she kind of average weight?
No.
No.
Not at
all. Well, she fluctuates. Now she's fat. She's fat.
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
So, okay.
Not all that. All right.
Yeah, exactly. So now Larry asked her if it bugged her to publicly deny something.
No, not at all. I mean, again, if you look at it the right way, it's kind of flattering because they must say you helped them sell papers.
Oh, dear God.
You gotta put a positive spin on everything. I bet you if she got paralyzed, oh, ho, 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 at least I'm buying a wheelchair from you. Okay, what the hell is her problem?
She does seem like she's clown happy.
It's insane, okay?
Yeah.
So then she explains to Larry that it doesn't matter because people are going to talk to you about you wherever you work.
Any sort of job, you could work for a factory that makes gadgets and people are going to gossip about each other. That's just human nature.
Gidgets. I'm so cute. I'm going to use the word gidgets and everybody's going to like me because I use gidget and all these other words. Shut up. Oh, my gravy.
I think she meant widgets, by the way.
Yeah. Well, she said gidgets.
She did say gidgets.
Or gadgets, and she decided
one of the two, not gidgets.
No, because
right.
She did that on purpose because she's special.
Because she's so cute. And you ever notice that she looks like Jack Nicholson's The Joker? With that smile?
Yes.
Look at her.
Yes.
She's exactly like the Joker, dude. It's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Larry asks her, how do your family feel about being in tabloids?
We really do laugh about it because that's really all you can do. My grandfather had a great rule. My mother taught it to us as kids. You have two choices in life, and that's it. You can either laugh or you can cry.
Or you could get angry and think it's BS. Show some freaking emotion. What the hell is wrong with you? Be real. She's constantly being fake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't trust anyone that's always happy.
Yeah. I hate this positive spin.
On every single freaking thing, dude.
That's gotta be annoying for Larry.
Absolutely. It's insane.
Larry's not listening. He hasn't been able to hear in 15 years.
Okay, so you know how Oprah had the big party for Barack Obama?
Right.
Yes.
Larry asked her if she was invited.
You know, I think she knew that we were getting ready for this season. We had a brief email chat and goodwill and good cheer when she was here taping for her show. And
Just say no. You weren't invited, okay? Yeah, we traded some memos. Ah, oh, she was here filming. Shut up and just say no. I wasn't invited.
She was aware of me, my life, my season, my work day.
Okay.
Oprah doesn't know anything about her.
Punch her in the face. Okay, so she has this charity called Yummo. Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. She feeds fat kids or something like that. Okay.
Why do fat kids need feeding?
True. I don't know. She's going to make them fatter so she could eat them later.
Yeah.
Okay. So she asks, Larry asks her, where did the word Yummo comes from?
Where did Yummo come from?
I was tasting stuff and I would just talk to myself alone. And
Yummo.
It was yum combined with, oh my gosh, Yummo.
Yummo.
Oh.
You're winning over some fans to your side here, Omar. I gotta tell you.
Yummo, yum. Oh my God.
I'm so with you now.
I'm so clever and cute.
Oh my gravy.
Shut up and die, you whore. Oh my God. I've never hated her more. And F you guys for making me watch this. Okay? So she uses acronyms on her show all the time, I guess.
Like what?
EVOO is a famous one.
Okay? EVOO, what does it stand for?
Larry asked her what EVOO stands for.
What is EVOO?
Extra virgin olive oil.
And why have you initialed it?
Because for all of those years and we continue on Food Network, I'm alone talking to my vegetables and I just got tired of saying EVOO, extra virgin olive oil, over and over and over. So I abbreviated it for myself and became EVOO.
Wow.
You notice at the end of every clip how she just laughs?
Of course, yeah, she's happy.
She's happy, so freaking happy with herself. Like, it's so hard to say extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
EVOO. I think it takes the same amount of energy. But I just think it's a lot cuter. EVOO. Yummo. My gravy. Shut up and die. You dumb fat bitch. Okay, so she's supposed to be some freaking chef, right? She's supposed to be some sort of cook. What can she make?
You can't make coffee.
I'm not allowed to touch the coffee maker. Yeah, I'm bad with the coffee. I can never find the scoop. Then I use tablespoons. I don't know how many tablespoons to the water. Sometimes I forget to put the water in. Sometimes I put the water in and I forget to put the coffee in.
That's such a made-up story.
It's a made-up story and it's a lie. She's a fraud. She should be jailed. What else is she bad at?
I can't bake. I'm baking challenged.
What the hell? How did she make a career out of this? She can't make coffee. She can't bake. 30-minute meals that don't take 30 minutes to make. People have tried to make these 30-minute meals, and it doesn't happen.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He's done some research.
Okay. So then at the very end of the interview, Larry asked her, what is she good at?
What are you best at?
Being a big fake whore.
Wait a minute.
She said that?
Yeah. That didn't sound like her.
That's weird, dude.
Let's hear that again just to make sure because it sounded...
What are you best at?
Being a big fake whore.
Oh, wow.
Well, at least she showed a bit of truth.
At least in the end, she told the truth.
We're really going to whistle the hits. We're still doing that. That's official.
Yes, we are.
Yep. All right.
Can't wait.
Your chance, and one of your final chances to win tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion coming up just after 7 this morning. Just after 8, the band Paramore, who is on the bill tomorrow, will be playing live in our studio. And, yep, there'll be an interview. That's all coming up.
And just after 9, Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Buddy and Joe Rogan in the studio talking about no gravity. Okay. Let's talk about cell phones. This happens every once in a while where you've got your cell phone in your pocket and somehow it dials. They have a mind of their own sometimes.
Yep.
Or you'll receive a call from somebody. You'll say, hello, hello, and they won't respond. And then you'll hear them talking like in the background. You can kind of tell that it's them and it's their cell phone, but they don't know that there's a connection that's been made.
And then you listen very intently to see what you can hear.
And you try to find the dirt.
Yes,
so we're gonna
love that.
We're going to take your calls, accidental cell phone dialing, whether your cell phone sabotaged you and dialed a friend, or whether you were on the receiving end and you heard something that was quite funny or revealing, or like Psycho Mike, tell us about your unfortunate circumstance.
Back in about 2000, the new hip thing for cell phones was the voice memo, where you could actually just put in like Heather and it would dial, you know, you'd say Heather and it would dial Heather, whatever. So I had a phone with that and it would constantly accidentally dial people because it would misinterpret things I'd say. And I had it on my table one day and I was hanging out with this chick. And for some reason, without me knowing it, it dialed this girl that I had just broken up with that was like still desperately trying to date me. And the next day I get a call from this girl and she says, what'd you do last night? I said, I'm hanging out with Jason, you know. No, you weren't. You were with a girl named Marissa. And then you went out to dinner at this restaurant. And I said, how? And I just confessed, I was like, how the hell did you know that? And she said, because I sat there and listened to you guys have a conversation for 40 minutes.
Dude.
Oh, no.
Dude. You know, that's very funny. It's happened to me a couple times where I've accidentally dialed my wife, apparently. And even though I knew where I was and knew that there wasn't anything that was going to get me in trouble, for some reason, when you walk in and she says, so, your cell phone called me, and you freak out. You're like, oh, no, yes, okay.
You go back through the Rolodex of yesterday and try and figure out what they might have heard.
Even though I knew there wasn't anything that was going to get me busted, still somehow just the fact that somebody's listening and you don't know it just is a little creepy.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. First, I'm going to play you the first half of a Bean phone call to Lightning. Now, this was Bean's cell phone. I think it's in his pocket.
And how long ago was this? I have not heard this tape. When did this come
into
play?
Maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Two, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Lightning said, you guys are never going to believe this. Bean's cell phone called me. And Bean doesn't call anyone.
Ever.
I
try not.
When we get a phone call from him, it's a shocker because he would rather email. So Lightning played us the phone call from Bean, and we were all trying to guess in the office what exactly was going on when Bean called. This is the beginning of it. And then I'm going to tease you a little bit. And then there is an identifying factor near the end that I'll play for you next. So by that point, you can tell that the cell phone is in Bean's pocket.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's walking someplace, right?
Yep.
So you're going to have to wait till the next break so we can play you the identifying thing so that we can tell what was going on with Bean. But he did call Lightning, and it was spectacular.
I am fascinated to find out where I was. I hope I was having fun.
We'll take your calls next.
My cell phone calling Lightning a couple weeks ago, trying to figure out where I was.
Leave you a message. We're gonna find the end of it in a couple of minutes so you can tell. Here it sounds like he's walking. So we'll play at the end of that in just a minute. We'll tell you exactly what was going on when Bean's cell phone called. Unfortunately, cell phones have a mind of their own, and they call at inopportune times.
Do you think?
Say good morning to Dave in Bellflower. Good morning, Dave.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hi, Dave.
I just want to say Santa Monica!
And to you as well.
A shout-out to our painting and making blended drinks and exercising TV show guy.
Yes.
All right, what's going on? Oh, that was it. He hung up. Fantastic.
That was it?
Oh, that's even funnier.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Anthony, who is calling from Baldwin Park. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Hi, hey, Anthony.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you want me to just jump into the story.
Yes, please.
It's pretty embarrassing. They really can't, you know, laugh too hard at me.
Okay.
But as a guy out of the Army, I was in the Army for like 8.5 years. And back in 99 when I was stationed in Colorado, I had been in the field for like 60 days. Got home, my girlfriend was really excited to see me, so I went to go see her the very same night. We're going out to dinner, you know, we hadn't been together in a while, so she said, you know, I really can't wait, let's just go find a place. So we go into, you know, a little neighborhood off to the side somewhere, and we decided to just jump in the back seat, you know, throw the clothes off.
Got it, makes sense, sure.
You know, no more than a minute and a half later, because I've been in the field forever. You know, she's over here talking trash to me. Oh, this is horrible. What, is that that's it? I'm like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, my mind was somewhere else. I'm sorry. She's talking all this trash. The whole got in my hair, the whole nonsense.
Right.
And she's like, quick, put your clothes right now. We got to get out of here, you know, before somebody comes out of the house. Meanwhile, she goes into her pants to put her pants back on. She hears a little lady talking, hello, hello. She grabs her phone. It's her grandmother. Apparently, she called the grandmother. One of the shoes hit the phone in her pocket or something.
Her cell phone called her grandmother to hear what you were doing.
The worst thing ever.
Awesome.
I mean, that's really fantastic. I had no idea what to say.
Did you later break off a piece of her grandmother? That's what I thought. Thank you, Anthony.
He was eager to go back to combat after that point. Let's go down to Sylvia. She's in Placentia. She's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about cell phones that accidentally dial out, maybe not at an opportune time. Hey, Syl, what's up?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hello. Good morning.
I was with my boyfriend, and I was married at the time, and my phone accidentally dialed my sister, and I was having an argument because he spanked my butt, and So she called me and she goes, how funny. I totally heard the whole conversation about you and my husband at that time. And she's all, and I have the same fight with my husband when he slaps me in the butt. So I was thinking, how am I going to recreate this so that my husband doesn't find out? Because
right, because if she tells your husband, you're screwed
right,
because that was your boyfriend.
And it's sure to be a topic, you know, a funny story later.
Of course.
So I had to go home and bend over a few times so that my husband would spank me. And I would say, well, you know, I would start the same exact fight. And then I said, oh, my God, I think my sister heard that.
Oh, you are good.
Oh, wow.
You are good.
What a little minx you are.
Wow, nice work. Thank you. I don't think I would have thought it through all that far.
That's nope.
That was some thought right there. Let's go to Charlie in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Charlie.
Morning, guys. I love you, Lisa May.
Thank you.
Your cell phone dialed out. What happened?
My girlfriend and I were at our house. We were playing around, wrestling, everything else. I was tickling her, and she kept yelling, stop it, stop it. Leave me alone. Well, next thing I know, a couple minutes later, there's a knock on the door. I had accidentally dialed the emergency call-out number for the police department.
911?
Oh, no.
Huntington Beach PD is knocking on my door thinking there was a domestic problem going on.
Oh, because they heard stop it, stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, and, my God.
So the cop had to come in. He looked through the house, and we're both just laughing uncontrollably. We had to sign reports saying that nothing was going on. I wasn't beating on her.
Wow.
Yeah.
He still didn't believe you.
That's weird. Thank you for the call.
That's funny.
My fax machine called the cops one time, and they came guns drawn, by the
oh
way.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
God.
Walking up to the house, and my wife looked at me and said, what did you do?
She was convinced that they were there for a reason.
Which is probably the right move. Jim in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there. You're a 911 dispatcher?
Yes, I am.
How many times has this happened to you?
At least once a shift.
No kidding.
And
people accidentally call 911?
Yeah, they dial 911 all the time.
And do you you guys have to follow up on every call, right?
We have to follow up as much as we possibly can if we know where they're at. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Jim. When it becomes obvious to you that nobody's trying to talk to you and they're just at a party or driving or something like that, is there a way that you have that you can disconnect that line?
We can disconnect the line, but we have their phone number.
Right.
So we call them back, and you know we have to verify everything's okay.
Make sure everything's cool.
A lot of times, I didn't call you. It's like, yes, you did.
One time
what
a shift.
About.
Wow.
How? What? Have you ever heard anything juicy in any of the times that people have called accidentally?
Yeah, we get so many phone calls, I can't remember.
Yeah. A lot of juiciness.
Yeah.
All right. Put all those on a CD for us, Jim. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. One more, and then we're going to find out what Bean was doing.
Good.
Michael in La Crescenta. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
We are good. Thanks.
Well, what happened was I was invited to a party, and I called my boss and told him that I was sick.
Not feeling very good today.
Yeah, I was all, you know, put on the whole show for him and everything.
Excellent.
And he goes, all right, you know. So I go to the party, and we're drinking, and everything's happening. There's music and partying. Well, apparently, while my phone was in the pocket, I had called my boss's cell phone.
Oh,
so
no.
He had picked it up, and he'd heard the party going on. He heard me, you know, loud and boisterous, yelling and
there's
you know, having a good time.
And you're screaming. Woo!
Exactly.
Awesome.
He heard the whole thing, and then when I came back to work the next day, he told me, so are you feeling better? You know, and basically I ended up getting a write-up for it because I lied.
Oh, that's not right.
But thank God I didn't get fired.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's funny, though. Thank you for the call, dude. We appreciate it.
All right, back to Bean's call to Lightning.
All right.
Bean's phone dials Lightning. We heard this part. We're trying to figure out in the office what the hell was Bean doing at the time. Because it sounds like he starts to walk at some point. It sounds like the phone is in his front, like, pocket.
Definitely sounds like Steph.
And he starts to walk right here.
Like a monster.
We all had guesses.
Well, it's pretty rhythmic.
Yeah, right?
That's not what happened.
That's
at
what
all.
Happened.
That's the doctor.
That's an inopportune time right there.
So that's over. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ for a Friday morning, 6:55. Producer Lightning was just in here, Kevin. You're out of the room.
Yep.
And apparently one of the moms from a kid in Paramore is listening online to us in Tennessee this morning. Wanted to make sure that she didn't miss her kid on the radio.
Really?
How funny is that? Because the band is playing the LA Invasion. Of course, the K-Rock LA Invasion is tomorrow, and they're going to be in our studio and performing live and being interviewed in the 8 o'clock hour today. So Mom is going to be out there listening, which I think is which is awesome.
Which is never good, by the way. Never, ever good.
Let's do everything we can to get him in trouble. Ralph is on vacation. Time to take a look at the showbiz beat here on K-Rock. This just in, late-breaking news. You have not heard this yet. This is brand new. Las Vegas is the dateline. Investigators have questioned O.J. Simpson about a break-in at a casino hotel room involving sports memorabilia, police said Friday.
Really?
The break-in was reported at the Palace Station Casino late Thursday night, according to a police spokesperson. Simpson has been released and is believed to be still in Las Vegas. We don't have any other details. We don't know what was stolen. We don't know if it was somewhere in the casino or if it was in a guest room. We don't know how or even if O.J. is involved. But my gut tells me he did it, I think. I pretty much.
My gut tells me if O.J. breaks into your room and wants anything, give it to him.
Yes.
I think so. It's only a matter of time before he writes a book called If I Did It and How I Stole All That Sports Memorabilia Stuff. So what do you suppose that's all about?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I'd love to know what the memorabilia is and if it involves, you know, like if it turns out that it's his Heisman trophy that got stolen, then I would say, yeah, I'd say he's a pretty likely suspect.
Yeah, no
kidding. That really pissed him off to have to give that up.
Yeah, that's true.
But O.J. was questioned, was released, and as far as we know, did not kill anyone in connection with this incident.
You know that dude slash chick that was online, the Britney fan that was crying and sobbing?
She's a
Chris
human!
Connor, she's a human! Well, Jimmy had him slash her on his show last night, Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
All right.
Via an iChat. So he was in his room on his computer doing an interview with Jimmy Kimmel. And this was the following exchange, as Jimmy wanted to know if he had heard from Britney's people. You know, whether they liked it, didn't like it, whatever.
Have you heard from Britney or Britney's camp?
I can't say.
So that's a yes, then.
Shut up. You're putting words in my mouth.
What?
You're putting words in my mouth, and that's not what I want you to put in my mouth.
All right. Okay, good. All right, then. Excellent.
I've had about enough of that, young
man.
By
the way, he went on to claim that all of the other ones were fake on YouTube. But this one's real. He's actually a Britney fan.
Okay.
So I don't believe that for a second. That's what he said.
It is a wonderful technology era that we live in when a kid like that, an obvious hermaphrodite, can, with his little webcam, can rant about Britney Spears. And last number I heard, and I'm sure it's way more than that now, was over 4 million people had viewed that thing.
Yep.
I mean,
isn't
that crazy? It's unbelievable. I mean, we're getting to the point now where you in your bedroom by this time tomorrow can have more viewers than Katie Couric. I mean, it's incredible
true.
That you can do that. We should have asked Vince Neil about this when he was in on our show a couple weeks ago, but there's Motley Crue news. Apparently, Tommy Lee has quit the band. It's a lawsuit the three other guys filed against Tommy's manager and business partner. Remember we heard something about this? Is that the other members of the band were not crazy about some of the extracurricular stuff that Tommy was doing? He was, you know, off doing the dance music, and he had the reality show, and they felt like he was busy doing other things instead of paying attention to the Crue's business and kind of depriving them of the opportunity to make a lot of money being Motley Crue.
Right.
Well, they essentially what's happened is they filed a lawsuit against him, and he has quit the band. And they claim that he's responsible for Motley Crue losing $20 million. That's what he is being sued for from the rest of Motley Crue.
Meaning that if he doesn't go with them, their tour won't be successful, so they won't make that much?
I'm sure that's the kind of thing that's being alleging is, we can't be Motley Crue. Like, he's got a full-time forever obligation to be in that band. I don't know how this is going to shake out. But, lawsuit, and now Tommy Lee says he's quit the band. So.
I read something yesterday about their former manager. Was that the guy you're talking about, his business partner?
His name is Carl Stubner. I don't know if he also managed the rest of the band.
Yeah, I don't
know.
But
he's Tommy's guy.
I read yesterday that there was a lawsuit about their former manager who used to get free tickets and then would give them to, sites online to sell.
To sell?
At greatly exorbitant rates,
Oh, my God.
So they were upset about that, too. I'm not a baseball fan, so maybe I'm the only one who didn't know this, but who knew that Alyssa Milano is the perfect woman?
Well, we've been hearing a lot about the fashion line that she has designed of Dodger stuff. She's a huge Dodger fan. And
I didn't know that.
You can actually buy at the stadium, you can buy Alyssa Milano-designed clothing for women baseball fans.
She's been signed to be a correspondent on MLB.com, Major League Baseball's new broadband channel. She's scheduled to report on postseason games and tells People magazine she's a huge Dodgers fan. to start. And, quote, I know our starting rotation so well within our division, I pretty much know what pitches the pitchers are going to throw to what batters.
Wow.
Well, we ought to be getting her on as the as crunch time arrives for the Dodgers here in the last 3 weeks of the season. We ought to go to Alyssa and find out what we ought to be doing then.
And she looks like that. That's usually mutually exclusive.
I agree that she's designing clothes for women because, you know, like the jerseys and stuff,
they're not flattering?
No, not at all. That's awesome.
With that news, women... she has just eclipsed the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe as the most popular woman in the Mexican community.
That's a good idea. Women don't need clothes, by the way, Lisa. I don't even know what you're talking about. Here's the most frightening quote of the week. Paris Hilton, in an interview with something called Closer Magazine, I've never heard of it, says, and here's the quote, there are babies in orphanages around the world, and she's hoping to find four girls with blonde hair and pretty eyes.
Oh, no.
She's been telling people, I want a brood of little mini versions of me. I'll raise them to be the most famous women in the world.
Oh, that's not true. That's
it can't be, right?
Can't too,
be
by the way.
I mean,
they're not going to let her have a baby, are they? Anyone?
Paris is famous because she was born into a wealthy family, which I guess if her kids are, I mean, if she adopts kids, they become de facto famous just from having her as a mom.
Yeah.
Who's they, Lisa? Who's they that's not going to let her have a kid?
Anyone?
There is no
cares
they.
About children?
There needs to be a they, but there isn't a they, unfortunately.
There should be a they in this case to step in immediately.
Yes. I think I'm going to do this story every hour today. Pamela Anderson playing poker in Las Vegas in the room of a well-known gambler. She told Ellen DeGeneres that she was down $250,000, and she decided to work it off, if you know what I mean.
Really?
I think I do.
And she said in the process of working it off, she's in love.
Whore!
So I'd like to play poker with her. I'd like to put that out. I would like to play poker with you, Pamela Anderson. Thank you.
You can talk to any prostitute and they'll tell you. You don't have to love them. You just have to do them. All right, Pam? Don't feel like it has to go hand in hand.
I guess everybody does love dick.
Exactly. And I don't know how this fits into the entertainment report, but I have to mention it anyway because, Kevin, this could affect you and me personally.
Okay.
A York County, Pennsylvania judge has ruled that a marriage conducted by a minister ordained by the Universal Life Church is not legally valid.
Are you kidding me?
In the ruling, Judge Maria Cook claimed that the minister did not have either a congregation or meet regularly at a church where the congregation should meet. It was not a valid wedding. Of course, this is a, you know, potentially a precedent-setting case because, you know, all these people that you and I have married, including producer Lightning.
Who's just run into the room and doing a dance.
Baby, I love you, but I'm going to Vegas to party. Lightning's doing the I'm not married dance. Now, Bean, is there any sign in that story that it's going to be retroactive or from now on? Because they told us at the time that we were, however absurd this is, we were legal to marry people in the state of California.
We stopped
because we thought people should take it more seriously. But we did dress up as monks at Lightning's wedding, and apparently it's possible that you're not married. So,
wow.
Well, again, to recap, Lightning, this is just one judge in Pennsylvania, so no telling whether this is going to become precedent and it's going to spread to the other states or how it's going to affect people who have been married, you know, previous to this ruling. I don't know what it means for you, but
don't care. I'm partying.
You should take advantage of it this weekend anyway.
Dave, let's get a keg.
These poor bastard children.
Celebrity birthdays. Chekhov from the Star Trek show. Walter Koenig is 71 years old today. Sean Federline turns two. That's Brittany and Sean. And Kevin Federline's first kid, I guess. He's 2 years old today. And Amy Winehouse, the worst-looking 24-year-old possibly in the world.
Yeah.
It's a miracle she's still alive, though. She is, again, just 24. It's KROQ FM Pasadena, Los Angeles. That's the KROQ Showbiz.
Tomorrow is the KROQ LA Invasion, and there are many different things you can find out about at KROQ.com, including the set times. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in what bands play when, you can also figure out a way to watch it online at KROQ.com, which is great quality, sound-wise and video-wise.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that that's going to be going on. And right now, we're going to give away another pair of tickets.
We should also mention, by the way, just announced, as you might expect, this happens with big shows sometimes, is there are what are called production seats available for sale today, too. So, you know, maybe a little better seats than might have been available yesterday. You still got a chance to get in on the action and see it live in person, and you can go to the Ticketmaster and the usual places to get that information. Or you can win them for free right now, and I can't believe we're doing this again.
Well, this is a runaway hit sensation, and by that, I mean no one likes it. We have decided to do a contest that we've done in past days called Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits.
Yay!
Now, it's important to know as we head into this that neither of us can whistle.
No, not well at all.
So that's why we enjoy it. So.
That makes it difficult. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to win tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion by identifying songs we whistle.
Kevin and Bean whistle the hits. Kevin and Bean whistle the hits.
In our
are
defense.
They in a monkey cage? What's going on in that thing?
Yes, that they recorded that at the zoo. I'm not exactly sure what that was
terrible.
About. All right, let's go to Myra in Santa Ana. Good morning, Myra.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent. Now, we're gonna be whistling songs from the bands that are playing the K-Rock LA Invasion. You got to give us the song title and the band title, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, listen up. This is Bean, and I'm going to be doing your first one, Myra. So listen up and good luck, okay? What do you think, Mai?
I don't know. Do it again.
Do it again. That had to be the easiest one, didn't it?
I think so. How about Foo Fighters' Everlong? Come on. Everything that ever been is been forever. Was it me or was it her, you guys?
I think that was her because I do believe that was pretty identifiable.
Okay.
He's a girl.
Let's go to Becky in Long Beach. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. Dude, you have to give me an easy one like that because that was, that's so crap.
Well, I'm going to be whistling this one, and I hope it's that easy for you.
Uh-huh. All right, let's have it.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Don't make me laugh.
There's no noise coming out, Kevin. All we're hearing is there.
Start over.
Everyone stop. I'm going to start over. All right.
Come on. Oh, you got to whistle.
All right. I can't whistle. There's no noise coming out.
Okay, wait. Right. Can I, guess off of that?
No,
if I'm wrong, can you do it again? Because I think I almost got it.
No, but no,
well, how about if Mike does
guess. Right. Let him try.
Mike's going to do it.
Oh, that's so easy. It's Kid Rock, Ball with a Ball.
Yes! Nicely done. Woo! All right, you hold on. Has there ever been an easier song to whistle? It's one note. I couldn't get it out. One single note. Didn't move anywhere.
All right. So that was who? That was Becky. She's in the drawing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's move along to Maggie in Pico Rivera. Hey, Maggie. Welcome to Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
All right. We're not good whistlers, but I am going to attempt to do one of the songs that you're likely to hear on stage from one of the bands playing the K-Rock LA Invasion dealio. So listen up. Here we go.
All right.
I did peter out a little bit at the end there. That's as good as I can do it. I'm sorry. If you can't get that, I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Big hit, big
band. Can you do it one more time?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can only do it one time because we do have to remember our other listeners.
We only did it again because I couldn't whistle last time. But give us a guess, please.
No, I can't.
Y'all the Revolver doing Slither. I did the best I could. Sorry, baby.
Can't imagine why Ralph hates this game. let's go to Frank in Riverside. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I've been better. I'm not able to whistle, and we're doing Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits, but here we go.
Now, Frank, you've been listening on hold. How have you been doing so far with the ones that the other contestants have gotten?
I got 203, but...
Okay, that's not bad.
You guys suck.
Well, we're not good.
Yeah, we do. That's true.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Oh, man, no idea.
That was good.
It was pretty close, dude. You should have that. Big, big song, big, big band.
I'm just going to guess.
Go ahead. Got to go.
Go ahead and guess.
Paramore?
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm rapidly running out of patience with this, but let's try Gabrielle in Glendale. Gabriel, I guess. How are you, man?
What's going on?
Listen up. We're whistling the hits. Here's another song that we hope you'll be in the audience to see for the LA Invasion tomorrow, okay?
All righty. that was better, but I have no idea.
Oh!
Really?
Pain in the membrane.
That's what we were looking for. A little Cypress Hill.
Darn. All right.
Look, I know how bad it sounds to me, and I know what the song is I'm whistling. I can't imagine how bad it must sound to the callers on the phone.
Oh, it sounds really good. Jeff in Valencia. Good morning.
Morning, guys. You guys sound horrible.
Yeah, thank you. All right, you ready? Yeah. I think this is going to be our last one, though, so at least there's some good news. Right.
If you don't get this, then that means Becky in Long Beach wins the tickets. Okay, yep. Here we go.
Well.
Come on. That was really good, Jeff.
That was right on, Jeff.
That was right on, dude.
Dude, I suck so bad.
Come on!
Black Hole Sun, yeah. Won't you come?
All right. Congratulations, Becky.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Bean.
No. Hey, congratulations. You're going to the show, dude.
Cool.
Good job.
You want tickets for tomorrow? Good work. You're the only person that got them right.
I know, that's so lame.
So you're in.
Cool.
And thanks for playing Whistle the Hits.
No problem.
Kevin and Bean, Whistle the Hits.
You know, it pains me to admit this, but Ralph was right. That game blows.
It certainly does. My favorite part about Kevin and Bean, Whistle the Hits is between you and me, Kevin, not one person that we whistled the hits for was able to identify the song. Only the one that Mike stepped in to whistle is the one that got them.
Because
right
I was laughing.
Yes.
He whistled it. She got it. The rest of them didn't get any of ours. And we apologize. That's our bad.
We are going to continue to give away tickets all day long here on K-Rock for the K-Rock LA Invasion, including another pair for you between 9 and 10. The band Paramore is here in the 8 o'clock hour. Funny man Joe Rogan in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, let's dip into the email bag. We've been getting a lot of response lately about things that people are getting offended by on the show. For instance, Brow Down, which is a very popular song here, and you can watch the video for it that Psycho Mike did. It's up at krock.com. Hey, guys, the only reason the Armenians are offended by Brow Down, this email from Charlene begins, is because it's true. One of my closest male friends is Armenian. It takes me pretty much the whole tub of wax just to take care of his chest and eyebrows. I can't stand to see the hair coming out of the top of his shirts. I'm working on getting him to agree to do his back as well. How good a friend am I, by the way? I know. I'm doing the Lord's work. See you guys on Saturday, Charlene. So apparently she says we're right on with Brow Down. And here's one. You know, we were talking about maybe the problem we've had with a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the gays that listen to the show.
Yeah.
And by tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, I mean we have thousands of gay listeners who enjoy us and one who wrote a pissy complaint letter that got us in trouble.
Yep.
Here's Brian's email on that topic. Self-entitlement. What a bunch of crap. As a certified homo-ner and frequent listener of your show, I have to say that today's show was tops. This is in reference to yesterday. Of course your material offends some people, but what do you expect when you're listening to the bottom of the barrel of radio shows? In all seriousness, I hope your bosses take the hundreds of compliments to heart. That one complainer is listening to the wrong station and probably doesn't even belong to the demographic K-Rock is after. The rest of us lavenders are the ones who listen faithfully, often, and patronize your advertisers. Our opinion should not be ignored. I thought today's topic was awesome, and I texted Sneaky Butcher to all of my butt-loving friends. Thanks for being equal opportunity offenders, Brian from Rancho Santa Magra. Sneaky Butcher is exactly what we were talking about yesterday. We were looking for new euphemisms, alternate terms that we can use so that we don't say the words that apparently are touchstones that offend people.
Right. So if you're talking about gay people, you say Sneaky Butcher because they sneak their meat in the back door. This, however, is not a good one. I got this email. Hey, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa. The cover word that I have is directed toward the homosexual community. It's Chesney. So I'm trying to think of Chesney. What sense does that? What is
like
that?
Like the
that
country singer? Is that what they mean?
Yeah. So then Nancy goes on, that's the word my sister made up for me. We're not looking for words you make up. It doesn't make any sense to anyone.
For you. No.
We're looking like this. Hey, Kevin, I couldn't get through on the phone. I had something I feel could be of help to everyone. My friends and I refer to lesbians as finger painters.
Not bad.
I like that one. A friend who lives in the Fairfax district calls Orthodox Jewish people froggers because on Saturday they are all trying to dash across the busy street.
Okay.
Remember that old video game?
Yep.
Yeah.
This one says gay people can be referred to as chocolate swimmers.
I'm pretty
sure we mentioned this yesterday, but I think it's worth another mention. Here's a good substitute for Asian drivers. Call them welders because they all wear gloves and huge face masks mm-hmm. while they drive.
I like
Certainly.
It.
Certainly.
Gay people, rectal wranglers. And finally, I call the retards tards. No one knows.
So we'll, well, they don't.
We'll certainly work that into our vocabulary.
And finally, says Connie, the guy who called in about the Twinkie euphemism was wrong. A Twinkie is an Asian who dates whites and likes all things white. Hence the term Twinkie. They're yellow on the outside and white on the inside, also known as a banana. Now, the other way around is an egg. An egg is a white guy who loves Asian girls. White on the outside, yellow on the inside. Sincerely, Connie.
So I'm confused.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's the Kevin and Egg Show at 7:30.
Exercising and painting and making blended drinks.
Hi, Joanna. Do you like to paint? Or
I like to paint. I like to make juices, and I want to suck your
All right.
All right, then.
What kind of track record do you have of live phone calls, John, from people who seriously want to talk to you and people who are just wanting to prank you?
It's probably 90% cranks.
99%, you mean?
Yeah.
Where,
99%.
But that's part of what I love about it.
Yeah,
sure.
Where
can people see your show?
It's here in Los Angeles on Time Warner Cable, like from Santa Monica, hugging the mountains all the way to Eagle Rock.
Now, are you on Adelphia? Because that's where I am.
Well, Adelphia, they still got that because they switched it to Time Warner.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm confused.
Yeah.
So okay. you went to them to get your cable access show, which, by the way, I guess any citizen can apply for a show.
Correct. That's why I have the show.
Do you pitch this idea to them? Did you say this is what you were going to do, or is this something that developed out of something else you were doing before?
Correct. I started doing cable access in 95, and I had a show called The Jim Barry Show.
Okay, and what were you doing then?
It was like entertainment, Saturday Night Live, sketch, whatever.
Oh, I'd love to get my hands on a copy of that.
Yeah, well, I got a little clip on YouTube with that, some of the antics on there.
All right.
In 2001, I started doing the painting. I'm a professional artist, actually.
You are not.
Yes.
No, you're not.
Yes.
John, you paint like a retard.
When I'm not on the treadmill trying to blend drinks, and
imagine you as an artist or as a bartender or as a runner. I can't imagine, having seen your show, I can't imagine you as any of those things. This is John Kilduff on the phone. Let'spainttv.com is the site we're talking about, his cable access show. Are those the same three talents that you showed on America's Got Talent when you were on last season, or did you do something else?
Yeah, no, I did the same thing. And it was sort of, it was actually quite funny because my easel fell over.
Excellent.
And actually, it wasn't planned, but it was a great way to end, and it was just sort of like a nice, sort of like, here you go.
Okay, and how much did you win for winning that show?
No, I didn't win anything.
Didn't win. Okay, excellent. Here's my favorite thing about your email to us, though, is P.S., I'm available tomorrow for
Correct.
The show in Carson.
Yeah.
You want to play the K-Rock LA Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
You want us to put you on the stage in front of the K-Rock listeners on a treadmill painting while blending drinks.
Correct.
Do you want to live?
Totally. You know, and then, you know, someone like I mentioned Kid Rock, but anybody else, Linkin Park, what, any kind of group that wants to jam, one of those noise bands.
How dare you?
That's what they are. Well, John, we do love you, and you are doing the Lord's work, and we certainly encourage people to seek out and find your show. But you crazy. I mean, you really, you just are crazy. You know that, right?
Life's good.
Okay.
He's just blissfully unaware. That's what I like to think of it as.
As long as you don't want a woman, I guess keep doing what you're doing.
All right.
Thanks,
All right,
thanks for emailing, John, and thank you for talking to us, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. See you at the show tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you in San Bernardino.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. It's not in San Bernardino.
I know.
Let'spainttv.com. You just won't believe it. There's never been anyone, except for us, that's worse at everything he tries than this guy.
I'm more deeply puzzled by him now that we've spoken with him than I was before we had him on the phone.
The band Paramore is playing the K-Rock LA Invasion tomorrow, and they're in our studios coming up just after the top of the hour.
Very cool.
You better turn that fan off, by the way. That lead singer will be lifted off the ground if it catches a gust of wind. She's a wee thing, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
And what a voice. Anyway, that's coming up live music on the Kevin Amin Show in the 8 o'clock hour. Ralph Garman is on vacation. Time to take a look at the showbiz beat. I want to start again with late-breaking news just this morning. If you have not yet heard, unfortunately, O.J. Simpson has not been killed or arrested, but he has been questioned in Las Vegas at the very high-end Palace Station Casino, Kevin. There was apparently some sort of something was stolen at the Palace Station.
Wow.
It's funny. For many years in a row back in the 90s, I went to Las Vegas every summer to see the Grateful Dead play. They would always do, you know, a weekend of dates out there. And it was almost impossible to find hotel rooms. You know how busy it is in Las Vegas over the weekend. But for some reason, the Palace Station always had rooms open. I don't know what that says about that hotel. But apparently that's where OJ was when some sports memorabilia was stolen. We don't have any further details about this. He has been questioned and released. No arrest involved. I don't know any more than that, but I am fascinated to find out if OJ now has to go on a killing spree to get rid of all the witnesses. I don't know what's going to happen next, but it's never good news when OJ is back in the news. There's never a story where OJ Simpson's name is in the headline that you go, well, that's good news, right? I mean, he's always involved in some trouble.
Yeah, that's true. It's never good. Fred Durst got arrested. Did you see this story?
No. That is good news.
It's in TMZ.com. Apparently, last year, October 2006, he was allegedly in a collision with a pedestrian in Hollywood.
Oh.
And allegedly took off. He was later charged with assault with a deadly weapon, battery, criminal threats, and reckless driving. He had his day in court last month. He accepted a plea deal that allowed for 3 years probation, fines, and a small payment to the victim.
Battery and threats makes it sound like he tried to run somebody over.
I don't know.
Wow.
That's all I know. So that's why the story's actually coming up now, because Harvey got his hands on some of the paperwork.
Interesting.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a guy who can't get a break, and that's Oscar-winning actor Ben Affleck. He, let's face it, and part of it was his own fault because he did a lot of really bad movies, but I mean, Ben Affleck, for a long time, because of his movies and because of his time in the tabloids, was kind of a little bit of a joke in Hollywood. I think you guys would agree with that.
Right, right.
Yep.
But he seems to have cleaned up his act a little bit. He settled down. You never see him out there partying. He married the beautiful Jennifer Garner. They've got a lovely child, Violet, together, and it looks like things are all good. He had a very well-reviewed movie that he did about George Reeves, the Superman actor, last year, remember?
Right. Hollywoodland.
Yeah, Hollywood. Looks like he's on the comeback. And he's getting just rave reviews on the film festival circuit for this movie that he directed called Gone Baby Gone. I mean, people are saying it's a terrific movie by any director, much less way more than you expect from Ben Affleck.
Right.
So where does it all go bad? Well, apparently the plot line to Gone Baby Gone is very similar to the story that's in the news and is a huge European news story about that little British girl, Madeleine McCann, who's been missing from Portugal. Now her parents are being questioned as suspects, believing that they had something to do with their disappearance. Apparently, the plot is very similar to that, they've now changed the release date. It was supposed to play in Britain starting December 28th. Now they bumped it indeterminately on the schedule.
Oh, no.
Oh, what a bummer.
He finally makes this movie that's going to be his big comeback as a director. I think he may have had a hand in writing it, too, and they go, ooh, bad timing, man. I'm sorry. You have to wait on that comeback a little bit. So now it's been bumped because just too close to the headlines, and the little girl looks just like the little girl that's missing.
Oh,
and
my
it's just,
God.
That's just bad. That's
bad,
bad
timing
news.
Right there.
Right there, yeah.
I don't know if you're the type to TiVo something, but if you TiVo the Jimmy Kimmel Show, you want to make sure and watch it today. He had the guy/chick on that's the Britney Spears fan that was crying online that everybody was watching.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he had Kanye West on. And he was trying to convince Kanye West that he shouldn't get so upset about, you know, one review. I mean, a review is a subjective thing. There are people that like this show. There are people that despise this show. Both are okay because it's just subjective. It's what you like, what you don't like. But he is not that way, and Jimmy was trying to help him out.
Get the press. The people are all that matters, right?
It's true, right?
And that's what I want to say. I want to shout out to the New York Post for giving me a negative write-up, and I want to mention also this 436, this first day, 436,000 first day, Entertainment Weekly for the negative write-up. I just want to say, you don't matter. And nobody's reading it. Nobody believes you. Nobody believes you.
Well, that's
right. You said the album sucks. Does the album suck?
No!
You suck.
Yes. You suck. I don't know why, but he gets so spun out by bad reviews.
Well, he's certainly keeping track of who's giving them to him. Yeah.
He knows off the top of his head which ones were bad, which ones were good. He shouted out to those two. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to destroy yourself if you go by reviews.
Totally.
He may be a little too sensitive to be an artist.
And then he performed Stronger. I'm sorry, Ben, I didn't mean to interrupt, but he performed Stronger on the show last night. Way better than at the MTV Video Music Awards because he had actual musicians on stage and background singers and the whole group. It sounded great, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he had a legitimate complaint as to how bad those suites sounded at the MTV VMAs. I understand where he's coming from. But you can't start getting depressed every time somebody gives you a bad review. I mean, you got to have a certain amount of ego to be an artist, but you also have to have a little thicker skin than that. That's for sure. And finally, Vanessa Hudgens, who now is more famous than she has ever been. You know, a lot of people know her from the High School Musical movies, but now she's becoming a little bit of an internet sensation with all these photos that are going around.
Boobs.
She was supposed to be on the Jay Leno show last night. This was a highly anticipated interview because it was going to be her sit down where she was going to talk about what happened with that. And, you know, we saw how effective that was for somebody like Hugh Grant. I mean, you come on, you have a sense of humor about it, you laugh, you make your statement, you move on. It's pretty much over with at that point.
It's not
right?
like Leno's going to drill you. You know,
excuse me?
No, I'm saying.
Based on the photos, he might want to.
As an interviewer, he's not exactly hardcore.
Right.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's not like you're going on with Nancy Grace or somebody. Right. Well, anyway, she did cancel her scheduled appearance on Jay Leno last night. I guess she's just not ready to talk about the naked pictures. However, if you go to egotastic.com, what they're calling lesbian shots, I'm going to tell you I was a little disappointed with, because it's really just the pictures that girls do where they squash their faces together and stick their tongues out. You know, we've seen those from Hayden Panettiere and some of the other celebrities.
Of course.
It's a funny picture you take at a party. It's hardly the make it out with another chick photos that I was expecting when I clicked on it. But anyway, egotastic.com is where you want to find those from Vanessa. And hopefully by the time we get back from vacation, she will have moved up to just straight girl-on-girl porn. I mean, I'm hoping that's what's awaiting for us when we get back. All right.
Get a copy of that.
Yeah, sure. The band Paramore is here. They're coming in next to perform live on KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Showbiz birthdays for today from Star Trek actor Walter Koenig is 71 years old today. He was Chekhov on the TV show.
Captain Ahead, Warp Factor 7.
No. That's
Warp Sulu. Factor 11.
That's my boyfriend, George Takei.
Yes. You're doing Sulu there. Yeah.
Sorry, it's the only one I do.
Morton Harkett, lead singer of my wife's favorite band of all time, A-ha. He's 48 years old today.
What?
That's not your wife's favorite band?
It is.
Of all time?
She was, I guess, just at that right age when the Take On Me video was out.
Don't
that she
care.
Fell deeply in love with him and has never let him go. She loves, loves A-ha.
No wonder she's married to you.
He can't stop laughing.
Sean Federline, yeah, that Federline family. Kevin and Brittany's oldest son turns 2 today, and the worst looking, I won't say worst looking, the 24-year-old who looks the hardest road and most put up wet celebrates a birthday today, and that is singer Amy Winehouse. Oh. Is she in rehab? Is she out of rehab? Where is she today? I just know she needs some help. And that's the K-Rock Show Biz Beat.
Another band that's playing the K-Rock LA Invasion is Paramore, and they're in our studios right now.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thanks.
How are you?
So we've got Haley and Josh are here in the room, and I guess Jeremy and Zach are in the other room, and you guys are going to be performing live in just a few minutes. Now, I should mention before because I don't know where the interview is going to go, but I just want to tell you, Josh, that your mom called. She is streaming krock.com. She is listening live this morning, so
that
watch your potty mouth, okay?
All right, I will.
That was a funny phone call for Dave to pick up.
That's got to be weird.
My son's in the band.
I'm going to be listening.
Weird.
Yeah. You want to tell her to tune out, or you're all right?
Yeah, Mom, tune out.
Yeah. Whenever my mom comes to town, I tell her that we can't get the station at my house because I don't want her to listen.
You know, it's just very wise.
It makes it worse.
So for a lot of people, Paramore, they're like, who are they? They're new. I kind of heard something about them. How'd they get on the bill? But you guys are one of these bands that's like the multi-year overnight sensation, right? You guys have been working your ass off for some time to get to this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been around. I guess we really formed in like 04, 05. So
that's pretty quick compared to some bands. I mean, really, some bands it takes forever to get there. But you were telling us while we were playing the Foo Fighters song that you had done some shows in the past to make money. Like, but you said for political rallies.
Well, yeah. Myself and Jeremy, we were in Jeremy's our bass player. We were in this funk cover band. And
what kind of songs would you play at a political?
Well,
thing?
It wasn't like they were all drunk, so
okay. Well, that's good.
We played like a lot of funk music. We played Chaka Khan and Rufus, Parliament Funkadelic. It was really
that's
good time.
That's maybe the weirdest start ever. We've talked to a lot of bands before, and they always say, "Oh, some bands do covers," which I know some of you guys did cover
Josh
bands.
And Zach.
But for political stuff, that's a little.
It was weird.
Different.
You're right.
Although it makes Jeremy a hell of a bass player. I mean, if you can get out there and do Parliament Funkadelic, then you can pretty much handle anything, right? I mean, that's great training as a musician, I would imagine.
Yeah. It was amazing.
So you guys got together 2004, 2005, and you've put out one or two CDs.
We've put out two records.
Two. Mm-hmm. The last one was All We Know Is Falling.
That's correct.
Okay. And
then the current one is Riot.
Riot.
So we have Riot, the song that we've been playing here from, Riot's CD. We have Misery Business that we've been playing here on K-Rock. Tell us about that song.
Do you want to get this? You want me to get
You go ahead. Talk about it.
Okay. Misery Business, it was one of the first songs we wrote for the record. Man, it's kind of.
You're really tiny.
Oh.
I mean, I don't mean that to be. I'm not trying to be mean, but
yeah.
I remember when we had Mini-Me in. You remember that, Bean?
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
And I could not see his head over the board. I couldn't see him on the other side of the room.
That's what Haley's like. Yeah.
Not quite. I'm sorry. But you're cute and small. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. You were saying. I apologize.
Oh, no. It's totally cool. It's not like I've never heard it before.
Misery Business.
Misery Business. It's okay. About this chick who sort of came into our lives, like mine and the guys' lives, at one point, and just sort of used sex and her body to kind of overpower one of our friends. And it really hurt us because we were just all really young. We'd never seen someone have that much control over another person. And
right.
I guess 2.5, 3 years later, after harboring much anger from it, we wrote a song about it.
Fantastic.
But let's not discourage using sex as a weapon. I mean, there are times where it is appropriate, right? I mean, you're not saying don't ever do that. You're just saying choose your targets. Be careful, right?
Yeah. Choose your targets.
Haley's really more of a chicken McNugget than she is an actual person. I mean, she's so, like, you can like put her in the palm of your hand, pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
But you have to hear that all the time because the juxtaposition of your huge voice. Oh, I mean,
thanks.
You really have a powerful voice.
And as Psycho Mike has told us all.
They gotta be looking for like somebody off stage to be actually doing the voice.
Right.
Psycho Mike has told us, because he's seen you before, that you have a very powerful stage presence as well. And I think that that also maybe is a little bit of a juxtaposition from the fact that you're an actual midget.
She's not a midget, Bean.
Now,
How tall are you, Haley?
Like 5'1", maybe? I don't know.
Well, I think 4'11", by the way. I think that's a cutoff for midget.
But when you guys fly, when you're lucky enough to fly, when you're out of the van, you're not on the Warp Tour or something like that, and you fly, they just check you as, you know, as carry-on, right? I mean, you don't even have to get a seat, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I just hop in Josh's backpack.
Oh, man. I so envy that. Because they don't make seats for anyone on a plane that's over 5'8". You can't put your head back. You fall.
True.
All this crap. That would be great.
This is half of Paramore in the studio, the world famous K-Rock. The other half is here, too. We're going to be hearing them all perform live in just a few minutes. I have to ask you this because, you know, you said 2004, 2005, and you've come a long way. I mean, being on a show like ours and having the, you know, the reception that you've had with this this new Riot CD. I'm sure people ask you all the time, but I mean, what's the secret? What advice do you give to the people even younger than you that come up to you and go, I want to be where you are? It's so hard to cut through these days and to get noticed. What's the secret there?
Man.
When you guys came from Tennessee, too, it doesn't seem like that's...
Yeah.
It really, honestly, for us, it was just that our love for music, like, we're so passionate about it and we work so hard. Work really does pay off in the end.
Yeah.
And these days, you know, the music industry is all over the place. You know, who knows what's going to sell, what's going to do well. But we just, you know, put all of our hearts into it and we're, you know, willing to accept whatever the, you know, the...
And it wasn't like you guys were going to take your lives if you didn't get a record deal. You were just doing it for the love of playing music.
For love, totally. Right.
For love.
And was the Warped Tour, was that the biggest key component in terms of developing that fan base going out there year after year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really credit Warped Tour for, I mean, just about everything we've done, I think. You know, Kevin Lyman is, from day one, just been our biggest supporter. I mean, he's amazing.
That's very cool. That's a great tour to be on, too, because there's so many different bands and stuff.
It's so much fun.
How long were the Warped Tours? I think, didn't we send out a K-Rock listener to be a roadie on the Warped Tour this year?
Yeah, on about 35 dates this summer, we sent out somebody to work the Warped Tour. Yeah.
And they started calling him Pukey.
if that gives
you any idea how that went. That was his nickname.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys love to tour, or is it something you just recognize is necessary to get the band going?
We love it. Yeah. Like, we'll get home after a tour, and after about 3 days, we'll be ready to go back out again because we're bored at home.
Yeah.
It really is.
You still live in Tennessee?
Yes, we do.
What's the biggest show you guys have played in terms of number of people in front of you?
It's probably a festival called Rock Im Ring. It was in Germany.
Oh, right.
Like 80,000 people.
It was huge.
By the time we were, like, towards the end of our set, you know, I think there was around... anywhere from 50 to 70, I don't know.
Wow. But just like, does it make you a lot more nervous, or are you just on stage doing your thing? Doesn't make any difference.
I mean, I think we do pretty well under pressure because we get so nervous and excited that, you know, doesn't matter if, you know, someone hits a wrong chord or whatever. It's just fun.
Just keep going.
And I think that really, like, shows through.
And Haley, no one past row 3 can see you anyway, so it's not like there's any pressure. I mean, they're looking at the stage going, where is the singing coming from?
Oh my gosh. I think that's why I have small man syndrome or something, because I get up there and scream at people like I'm angry, and I'm not mad at all.
You're just saying, look at me.
I'm tired of the short jokes. I've had it.
All right. Paramore is here. The CD is called Riot. It's available in stores and for download. Of course, you've been hearing Misery Business, but let me tell you something about this Paramore, by the way. And we always like to give you this heads up with the albums that come out. You don't buy that album, hear the song that you know, and go, wow, the rest of it sucks. You got four or five songs every bit as good as Misery Business on this CD. It's really consistent and really, really good.
Thank you.
Although with your love for Hall & Oates that we've discovered, I'm surprised you didn't cover any of their music on this new album.
We took a look at Haley's iPod, and she had The Carpenters on it, and she had Minor Threat, and she had NSYNC.
That's a heck of a playlist right there.
Yeah. And she had some band called Paramore on there.
Right.
I saw. It was on there.
Yeah.
We jam out to our own music.
You know, when I'm on the plane, long ride.
Listen to yourself.
Why not?
Yeah.
No.
I need to play that bigger. I'm not big enough. All right. Paramore's here. You guys are going to perform for us, right?
That's right.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break. We'll go into the next room and some live music from Paramore next. The CD is Riot. The new single is Misery Business. We have Paramore in the studios. Which song are you going to do for us first?
We're going to play Misery Business.
Fantastic.
For you.
Live music on K-Rock.
Ready? One, two.
From the top, she's got a body like an hourglass, it's ticking like a clock. It's a matter of time before we all run out. When I thought he was mine, she caught him by the mouth. I waited 8 long months, she finally set him free. I told him I couldn't lie, he was the only one for me. 2 weeks and we were caught on fire. She's getting out for me, but I wear the biggest smile. Chances, they don't ever matter, people never change. Once a whore, you're nothing more, I'm sorry, that'll never change. And about forgiveness, we're both supposed to have exchange. I'm sorry, Yanni, but I passed it up, now look this way. There's a million other girls who do it just like you. The thing is, it is possible to get to who they want and what they like. It's easy if you do it right. Well, I refuse.
Singing. That's fantastic. Wow.
Thanks.
That's the band Paramore. You've heard the rocked out version here on K-Rock, and you can get it on the CD Riot in stores now. Jeremy,
have
is
we said
bass.
The name of their CD once correctly?
No, I don't think so.
I know I've screwed it up three times. Yeah, sorry.
Josh is playing the guitar. We got Zach on the drums there, and that's tiny little Haley who's doing all the singing here this morning. Is it true, Haley? I wanted to ask you about that you almost accidentally drowned in a Big Gulp cup once. Did that happen?
No.
I heard that.
Oh, man.
Look, I just wanted to say tomorrow there's going to be a lot of bands out there, and Kid Rock is looking for an MC to replace Josie, so you might want to just stay away from Kid Rock.
Covered. I got it covered.
All right.
Have you played with Pumpkins or Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Chris Cornell, any of those people before?
Well, no, not really. We played the same festivals as Smashing Pumpkins, but we never got close to them. So, yeah, tomorrow's going to be the day.
It's going to be good times. And again, you can go to krock.com if you're going to the show to get lots of information about set times and whatnot. And there are some production seats still available. If you have not yet got your tickets, you can still buy some for a fantastic show tomorrow. The band is Paramore, not spelled like you'd expect. It's Paramore, and the website is paramore.net. We have time if you guys would mind blessing us with another song. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think we're going to play an older song from our first record. So this is Pressure.
Fantastic.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to count this off.
Okay, Zach's going to count us off.
I do that. One, two, three, four.
Tell me where our time went, and if it was time well spent. Just don't let me fall asleep, feeling empty again.
In the middle of it. I like that. That was good.
Sorry, Zach.
Were you laughing at Zach?
Zach makes me laugh.
He's a hell of a drummer over here. He's got some style.
That seemed bongo-like to me. Were we dealing with bongos there?
Yes, we are. One giant bongo. And he warned us ahead of time.
I was going to bring my 12-piece kit in.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't really fit.
Rototoms.
But no?
I don't blame you. I understand. That was a version of a song from the All We Know Is Falling CD, I guess, from 2005. And the new one, I'm going to get it right here, is called Riot in stores now. And Paramore, you guys are awesome. We really appreciate you coming in on K-Rock. We're really looking forward to seeing you out there tomorrow, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
And by the way, Paramore is playing it just after 3 o'clock. If you're going to the K-Rock LA Invasion, make sure you get there in time for that. And if you're not, you can see it at krock.com. You can watch. So,
great.
Thanks
yes.
for coming in, guys.
Thank you, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Here's what I like. We had a contest for the K-Rock Street Team to come in and hang out with Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the other room. He or she was saying that they had a paper due today, but they ditched. So we're proud,
nice.
proud to be able to make that happen today.
Was it he or she because you could not identify the sex of the person, like the kid on the Britney Spears video on YouTube?
No, very
okay,
clear.
Not that kind of he
or she. Just don't want to give it away. I don't want anyone to get
it. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Speaking of the K-Rock Alley Invasion, and Paramore, by the way, was fantastic. And if you've never heard them before, you should hear those same songs with electric guitar. They're even better. But they were terrific. They'll be on the bill. Lori Serrano from Chatsworth is also going to be there. She just won tickets. We have one more pair from Kevin and Bean to you between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning. Plus, coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, Kevin, it's the return of Joe Rogan on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's like a UFC rematch.
Yeah.
Take him out. I've had it with him. Mr. Movie Phone, good morning.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Fantastic. Everything going all right this morning?
Very well, yes.
Well, Ralph is on vacation, and we're so lucky to have and count as a fan of the show, Mr. Movie Phone, who is the richest man we personally know, yet doesn't charge us to do movie reviews for us when Ralph is on vacation. We very much appreciate that, Mr. Movie Phone.
Well, you know I like to do things for my friends. I'm a giver.
Wow. I know you are. And you're one of those guys who really does see all the movies. I mean, you're seeing, what, 6 or 7 movies a week, right?
Well, that's true, and there are actually 21 new movies in theaters this weekend.
No way.
Yeah, of course I didn't see 21 of them. I saw a few of them. But I saw the ones that I think are important that we need to talk about.
Okay, excellent.
Now, first of all, let me ask you, did you guys see 310 to Yuma?
Did not.
No. Not yet.
But still want to, though.
But I want to, yeah.
This is the best time of year for movies. We've talked about that. 310 to Yuma is great. You got to get out. You got to see that one. But let's talk about this week. Jodie Foster, mad as hell, not going to take it anymore in The Brave One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone?
It looks good, I think.
I think so. I like her.
She's
I like her, too. I think she's a great actress. Here's what this movie's about. After her fiancé beaten to death, and she's nearly beaten to death during a stroll through Central Park, she decides to take matters into her own hands. She buys a gun and starts killing bad guys. Kind of like the Lady Charles Bronson.
Sure happens a lot in movies, doesn't it?
That really does. If you got a clip of this one, let's go ahead and roll that.
I always believed the fear belonged to other people. It never touched me. And then it did. And when it touches you, you know that it's been there all along. And you look at the person you once were walking down that street, and you wonder, will you ever be her again?
Ooh.
It gives me chills.
That sort of makes you want to go shoot yourself, doesn't it?
No, I mean, I've seen some clips for this movie, and it does look very good, and it looks like, she doesn't do junk. Let's face it. One of the reasons Jodie Foster works so infrequently is she will only do movies with scripts that she liked, and apparently this one is very good.
Well, she's a great actress. You can't argue about the fact that she's good, and she tries hard in this film. She really does. But I got to tell you, she can't keep the movie from being a by-the-numbers crime thriller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's miscast, for one. Saeed from Lost plays her love interest.
Right.
And from the very first scene when they start making out, it's like, that's unnatural.
You don't buy it?
You don't buy it. The very first scene, it's like, okay, that could never, ever happen. Okay, and then she goes on the killing spree,
right.
and we've seen it before. We've seen it so many times again. And the thing that drives me the most crazy is every move is telegraphed. You know, every step of the way, what's going to happen. And so there's really no suspense, no surprise. Now, with that said, she does a great job, as she always does. We've seen her do this before, though, and we've seen this movie kind of over and over before. So
there are a lot of times, like it sounds like in this particular situation, where the actress or actor is better than the project.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely true. But even as far as she's concerned, you know, I'd like to see her do a little something else other than just be freaked out and you know, trying to kill people.
Right.
I would be happy to just see her wear a dress once in a while. All right, that's called The Brave One, Mr. Movie Phone. What's next this weekend?
He's definitely more of a man than I am. All right, let's talk about director David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises. You got Viggo Mortensen and the Russian mob. They have a history of violence. Kevin, I know you love it when I do that.
I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah, you do that announcer voice.
And the history of violence.
Press one. All right, now you got Viggo Mortensen. He plays a Russian mobster whose crime family is trafficking sex slaves. Okay, you have Naomi Watts. She's a midwife who accidentally uncovers evidence against the family. Let's listen to a clip.
She was 14. Read the diary. She was 14 when he raped her. You bastards murdered her.
Anger is very dangerous. Makes people do stupid things. Please, forget I knew this ever happened. You're in very wrong place, Anna Ivanovna. You belong in there. With nice people. Stay away from people like me.
Is that Vigo doing the crazy mobster accent there?
It is. And let me just say right out of the gate, I have a weird, unhealthy man love for Vigo.
I'm no Mo either, Mr. Movie Phone, but he's a good-looking dude. I can't blame you there.
And he is unbelievable in this movie. The thing about this movie is where everything in The Brave One is about sort of conventional, by-the-numbers filmmaking.
Right.
Everything about Cronenberg's films defy convention. I mean, you know he did The Fly, he did Dead Ringers, he did A History of Violence. This movie makes you think, it makes you squirm. As you know, his movies are super violent, so sometimes you're covering your eyes, you're wincing, you know, sort of sitting up in your seat. I gotta tell you, Viggo Mortensen is fantastic. He's the baddest badass in Bad Town.
Wow.
They had to put that on the poster. And I'll just say one more postscript note, Lisa, for you and your girlfriends. You know Viggo's got the full-on frontal nudity fight scene in this movie, too.
No,
yeah,
I didn't.
There's a little weenage in this movie.
What length is his hair?
Did you say little weenage?
I did say little weenage.
What did you say?
I want to know how long his hair is. He's hotter when his hair is a little longer.
No, his hair is short. He plays a Russian dude, so it's chopped off at the top. But I got to tell you, if you've seen the clips of the movie, he looks amazing. He really does.
Come in.
Mr. Movie Phone falling very deeply in love.
Why don't you just marry him?
That is called Eastern Promises. Up next this weekend, what do you have for us?
Yeah, maybe the worst title for the best movie of the week. All right, well, speaking of weenage, how about a little movie called Mr. Woodcock?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that looks funny.
I love Billy Bob in almost anything.
Do you really?
I do.
Even when he does the same thing over and
over
and over.
I don't know why. I just like him.
All right. Well, then you're going to enjoy Mr. Woodcock.
Am I the only one that's going to enjoy it?
I think you are.
Oh, that's too bad.
All right. So let me just say this, okay? Mr. Woodcock, a flaccid little comedy that's going in and out of theater. Thank you.
See? Look at what he did there.
Be here all week.
You're like an artist with the English language.
I really do. I'm the movie man of the new generation.
All right, I have a clip here. Do you want me to play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Mr. Woodcock.
So what's your book about?
Well, it teaches people how to release painful memories so they can rebuild their self-esteem. It's called Letting Go, How to Get Past Your Past.
I'm already past my past. It's what's called my past.
Well, some people find my book helpful.
A lot of losers out there, I guess.
Now, Mr. Babyfriend, you talk about him doing the same thing over and over again. This is identical to School for Scoundrels. It's the exact same movie, right?
Yep. And Bad Santa. I mean, we have seen him do it all over again. And we like Sean Michael Scott. I think he's a good actor. But Susan Sarandon, like, what up? What are you doing?
Did you just say what up?
I did. Apologize. Let me apologize for that. But, I mean, seriously, she's got this other movie in theaters, in the Valley of Ella, right?
The Tommy Lee Jones film, yeah.
Which is I haven't seen it yet, comes in wide release next week, but is fantastic. But then she does Mr. Woodcock, and it's like, seriously, you might want to check into
Mortgage.
That.
Mortgage!
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a few other movies in theaters. What do we got? We got Across the Universe. That's the movie musical featuring all the Beatles tunes. Evan Rachel Wood, you may have heard of that one.
Oh, that one looks interesting to me.
It really does. It really does. I think it's going to be good. I haven't seen it yet, but I do think it's going to be good. You got director Paul Haggis's follow-up to his Oscar-winning Crash. We talked about that in The Valley of Ella.
Sure.
Tommy Lee Jones, Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
So that looks fantastic. But I think if you're going to the movies this weekend, if you're looking for a place to spend your $10, you got to go see Eastern Promises. If not just for the weenage, just because it's a fantastic movie. And also, Kevin, I know you also enjoy this. If you go to moviephone.com right now, we have a feature up: the 25 best sex scenes in movies ever.
Well, all right.
Now
then.
We're talking. Now right. We're talking.
Now you're speaking our language.
Now that's good. Now that's good times. And by the way, at number 21. Brokeback Mountains, Cowboys.
Of course.
That's how you can tell Mr. Movie Phone had some say over what the seeds were that were selected. Exactly.
Oh,
all right, Mr. Movie Phone, outstanding job as always. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a
Kevin
great weekend, you guys.
Thank you, man.
So with the purchase of any service of $69.99 or more, you'll receive two tickets to the LA County Fair. I tried to get through.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Topics.
Thank you, Lisa. We got Joe Rogan, funny man Joe Rogan, after the top of the hour. Right now it is 8:55 and time for the showbiz beat. Ralph is on vacation. He will be back on Monday.
Who saw Access Hollywood last night? Anyone but me tune into that show?
Nope.
Not me.
Well, what a shame, Kevin, because you were on it.
What?
Kevin Ryder, our own Kevin Ryder on Access Hollywood last night. Here's the tape.
This was unavoidable. I had to do what I had to do because it was a long time coming.
The Kid speaks, calling into LA's K-Rock Kevin and Bean morning radio show. Kid Rock claimed his fight with Tommy Lee went way beyond what happened at MTV's VMAs.
When me and Pam were going through our divorce, he picked up her email, her BlackBerry, started emailing me a lot of horrendous things.
Oh, you're kidding.
I mean, just coming at me.
So did this fight have anything to do with mutual ex-wife Pamela Anderson?
It had absolutely zero to do with Pam. I mean, she's... The best thing I did was file for that divorce. And thank God I got out of it in hindsight. I mean, thank God I got out of it.
Oh, you're kidding.
I sound like a lavender.
Oh, you're kidding.
If you missed the Kid Rock interview, and it was his first post-fight interview, was right here on the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday morning. I believe we have that up at krock.com in the podcast, so you might want to check it out. Hear his side of the story. Tommy Lee, who you've already heard what he had to say, his apology to the Maloofs that owned the hotel where the MTV Video Music Awards were, where the fight was. He apologized to Alicia Keys. She was on stage at the time of the fight. But now he's got something else to worry about, in that he's being sued by the other members of the band, Motley Crue. Mick Mars, Vince Neil, Nikki Sixx are all suing Tommy's manager and business partner, Carl Stubner. They want $20 million because they say that's how much the band lost by not being able to tour and do Motley Crue-related stuff because Tommy was off doing reality shows and steering a boat with his penis and everything else that he's been doing. All the showbiz activities outside of Motley Crue, they say, cost the rest of the dude's money, and eventually it's going to end up in front of Judge Judy or somebody. So wow. Tommy Lee's got some troubles.
Was he under contract that he had to do that? Or
see, this one I don't know, because lots of people in lots of bands go off and do lots of other things outside of the band, especially a band like Motley Crue that's, let's face it, is kind of streaky. I mean, they're on right. again, off again. They take years at a time off. It seems like a crazy lawsuit. There must be more to it than just this oversimplification description.
You would think, right?
But be curious to hear what happens.
I found out, not being a baseball fan, that Alyssa Milano might be the perfect woman. Mm-hmm. She apparently has been signed to be a correspondent on MLB, Major League Baseball's new broadband channel. She's also scheduled to report on postseason games with the Dodgers. She tells People Magazine she's a huge Dodgers fan. And she says, quote, "I know our starting rotation so well that within our division, I pretty much know what pitches the pitchers are going to throw to what batters."
Wow.
Dude.
That's impressive.
And she looks like that.
Yeah. She needs to be, you know, we're hoping, got her fingers crossed, the Dodgers make up a little ground, make the playoffs. She needs to be our correspondent in this postseason, I think, don't you?
Done.
Dodgers!
We also got some emails after we mentioned her earlier today that she is possibly dating Dave's favorite player, Russell Martin.
Russell Martin?
Martin, yeah. Apparently she's dating him. Some reports are. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what at least what some of our listeners have been suggesting.
That's so. How she knows what pitches they're going to throw.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Come on.
She's catching, too. Hey, Producer Lighting, Super Horror, if you're listening, we'd like to speak with Miss Alyssa Milano maybe on the show here pretty soon. Speaking of sports, I've been wanting to get to this story all day long. It doesn't exactly relate to show business, but we don't have a sports guy, so what the hell. What NFL team, kids, has the highest percentage of female fans of any pro football team in the league? What team has the highest percentage of the ladies who like their team?
Gotta be Patriots.
Why, because of Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, right?
See, I automatically thought Cowboys, but then I thought, no, that's just gay guys.
Yeah, that's Lavenders.
Yeah, that's not. That's Lavenders, right?
I don't know how to even guess that.
Lisa, what do you think? You're a chick.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, good guess. I don't know why you would say that.
Why did you say that?
Because they used to have a quarterback that was. Who was their old quarterback?
Trent Green?
No, before that.
I don't know.
Never mind.
Pittsburgh Steelers?
I don't think you're thinking of Kansas City, by the way, Lisa. The Pittsburgh Steelers is the correct answer, though. And apparently it has been the case since the days of Terry Bradshaw being so popular with the ladies, being a little bit of a sex symbol. And, when he took – of course, the Steelers were at their height then. They won those four Super Bowls with Mr. Bradshaw. So for the last 30 years, they have had the largest female fan base in the league. 34% of their fans are women, apparently.
Wow. That seems huge comparatively.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Paris Hilton said something that we would like to have her disavow any knowledge of. Apparently, she told Closer magazine there are babies in orphanages around the world, and Paris Hilton is hoping to find four girls with blonde hair and pretty eyes. She's been telling people, "I want a brood of little mini versions of me. I'll raise them to be the most famous women in the world."
That's hot. That's a great goal.
Please tell me that's not true.
Look, she can't keep a dog alive. Every time I see her on a red carpet, she's got a different little yipe on her arm, doesn't she?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God, please don't let that happen. Look, I know it's not China and forced sterilization is something we should all, you know, say we're against. But seriously, shouldn't they hold her down and, like, rip out her ovaries?
No, she's talking about adopting, dude. Yep.
I don't care.
What do you do?
Still rip out her ovaries.
Okay, it seems like a strange punishment, but okay.
Just to be on the safe side.
There won't be many adoptions, but all right.
And finally, for me, the McCormick Tribute Foundation, which I've certainly never heard of, and who knows how reliable they are. But they, and by the way, what the hell kind of a survey is this? They asked people, in the event of an actual emergency, if you're in some sort of a life-threatening situation, what movie or TV hero from the big or small screen would you like to have with you to assist? For instance, maybe you could have James Bond, for instance. Maybe that could be your guy. Maybe Jason Bourne is somebody you want. Ethan Hunt from the Mission Impossible movies. Who would you like to be with you to help you get out of a jam? 27% chose, and the number one answer was Richard Dean Anderson, TV's MacGyver, ladies and gentlemen. TV's
That's
MacGyver.
Absurd.
Well, he's handy.
I would pick the Invisible Woman from Fantastic Four, Jessica Alba.
Of course you would.
I don't know how she could help me, but it'd be good going down that way.
So to speak.
Yeah.
I guess you just figure, you know, you got a paperclip around, you can disarm a bomb, I guess, is what the thinking is with MacGyver. But yeah. I don't know. And I think, as you said earlier, that may say something about the age of the people they were surveying.
Yeah.
Really, maybe more than how good MacGyver is. All right. And Joe Rogan, straight ahead in the 9 o'clock hour here on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock, KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. It's amazing to me how many of the Star Trek cast are still alive. When you think about it, we've only lost a couple of them out of that whole cast, and they're getting older. Walter Koenig, who, of course, was Chekhov on the Star Trek
Captain,
TV series.
That's all I can give you.
No, Kevin, no. That's Scotty.
Oh.
That's Sorry. Scotty. He's Chekhov.
I had one practice is, seven, Captain.
That's Sulu. You're doing Sulu now. All right.
Live long and prosper.
No, that's Spock.
Spock.
Morton Harkett, lead singer for the band A-ha, who, although not doing much here in the United States, are still very popular around the world. They still do, from time to time, have hits in Europe and in Scandinavia. They do, yeah.
You're joking.
He is 48 years old today. Sean Federline, Brittany and Kevin's oldest, turns 2 today. And Amy Winehouse is 24. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz.
Joe Rogan, back in our studios. Good morning,
Joe. What's happening?
Hey,
good
Joe.
Morning. Thank you.
How you doing, man?
All right, brother. What's going on?
I had this dream one time that you came in and we started yelling at each other about the moon.
I had the same dream, but only you were yelling. It's weird. Strange dream.
It's funny because you guys are such good friends.
Psychic.
We are good friends. We love each other.
Listen, we can't let this beautiful friendship be ruined by one moon hoax. It's not worth it.
All right. How about if we? This is what Joe said to me, which I found very funny.
You're getting angry, which is a really dumb way to address any serious issue.
This is stupid. It doesn't look right.
It's
that's even a dumber way of doing it.
I am showing you video evidence that looks very funky.
If
you
look at it, so that went well. How about if we stipulate? Let's stipulate that the moon landing was a fake.
Stipulate?
Let's just say, get
sure.
Done.
We like you.
So we can move on.
Okay. Well, how about we just say we don't know?
Okay, that's fine too.
I'm happy to meet you in the middle.
All right.
I just hate the I know stuff. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah, you sure I could look you down?
Oh, sure. Come on, you know buddy. Listen, pal.
So Joe Rogan is going to be playing the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach next Friday, the 21st of September. You have an
Yeah, it's the day before the UFC. And so, I do the weigh-ins, and then we go there.
And the UFC is going to be then next Saturday, right?
Yeah, next Saturday. Chuck Liddell, Keith Jardine at, what is it, the Honda Center?
Yeah,
it's
Honda Center, yeah.
Yeah, it's going
to
be crazy.
Did we talk to you before or after the last fight where the guy was using the screens?
We didn't talk. Roger Huerta?
That
yeah,
was
that was
badass.
Very smart dude. That guy's an interesting guy.
There was big screens around the ring, for those of you that didn't see it, and he was just waiting so he could see the guy's head was behind him, and he would just elbow the hell out of his head.
Well, what's even more impressive is that guy had his back, and that's Alberto Crane. And Alberto Crane is one of the top jiu-jitsu guys in the country. He's very good. And he had Roger Huerta's back, which is a very good position. And Roger Huerta's blasting him in the back of the head with elbows, and he couldn't see him. He's using a rear-view mirror. He's looking at the screen.
Wow.
Crack him in the head.
Nice. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And these guys were badass. I've never seen that before.
Smart.
UFC is crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
What a nutty job. Every time I do it, I get down there, I go, really? Is this a job I do? This is insane.
And that was the same night the Couture fight, right?
Yeah. How crazy is that? He's 44.
44 years old and beating up on a guy
just
that's way bigger than him.
Old man strength. Picked that dude up in the air and dumped him on his head. It was crazy. Right when you count that guy out, man, it's like, I don't, how long can you do that? I'm like, are you going to be the champ when when you're 50? That's going to be crazy.
I mean, most people, this is a young man's sport,
sure.
UFC. They
it is, but there's variables that, like, that with grappling. The thing about grappling is it's not as dependent on reflexes and speed as, like, just striking is.
Right.
Like, in boxing, it gets harder and harder as you get older. But in grappling, all Couture has to do is put pressure on you and close the distance. And once he closes the distance, he's got a hold of you. It's not as dependent on, like, youthful reflexes. He can just control you with skill and knowing which way and which direction you're going to go. And then having the – he's just got ridiculous strength. He could just hoist you up and slam you on your ass.
He picked him up, slammed him on his head. His head hit the other guy's head and
– crushed the dude's nose.
Just bleeding all over the ring.
It was coming out of his mouth.
God.
He was trying to fight and he was breathing. And when your nose is broken, you can't breathe out of your nose. So you have to breathe out of your mouth. But all the blood from his nose is coming through his mouth.
So
it's pouring off his lower lip. His blood from his nose is leaking out of his mouth. Of course, down his lungs, everywhere.
Now he said to the referee, if I'm not mistaken, he said, I can't breathe, like he wanted the referee to...
It was real weird. He was trying...
Because he can't stop it. To...
Yeah, it was like,
they
you can't call timeout.
No.
It's like, no, he called timeout.
Well, no, they could stop the fight. But
he said he couldn't see, too.
He wanted a timeout to kind of clear up.
Clean up?
Yeah, and they let him. It was. It gets weird sometimes in the heat of battle. Like, they don't want to stop the fight, so they go, what's wrong? What's going on? Can we keep you fighting? Like, clean him up. So they clean his nose up, and his nose is just mush, you know, and it's blood everywhere. And he's like, do you want to quit? But then he gets that chance to think about being a coward, and he's like, no, I'm not quitting. And then he goes back in.
He can hear whatever all of his friends are saying about him, I imagine.
If you watch the last UFC, this is something that nobody knows. When Mirko Krokop fought in the last UFC, the one that was on Spike last week, he got kneed in the balls. And when he got kneed in the balls, he went down, and he said to Big John McCarthy, he said, I'm too old for this S. You know, and Big John said, nah, man, you're fine. He goes, I should just quit right now. He said this while he was down.
Wow.
And Big John was like, if you want to quit, let me know. He goes, no, I don't want to quit. And he goes, okay, you got 5 minutes to recover because you took it in the nuts. But, I mean, he said,
Too old for this.
Yeah. And that was the guy that got flatlined by Gonzaga in his previous fight.
Oh, my God.
So
he probably is right.
That's a rough sport.
He probably needs to stop.
Well, he's famous for knocking people out by kicking them in the head. Then he got knocked out by getting kicked in the head. Bad.
Yeah.
Like, his ankle was twisted underneath them, and that's
not easy to
recover
from. Have you ever taken a shot right there?
I've taken a shot like that, but
because you fought a lot, right?
Yeah, but I've never been knocked unconscious. I've been knocked down.
No, I'm not talking
about your legs give out.
Head. I'm talking about nuts.
And then, a bunch of times. Yeah, a bunch of times.
Because I didn't used to fight, but I was a pitcher in baseball, and I got a line drive.
Yeah, I've had one of my balls swole up and got black.
I've heard
it swelled up like a golf ball. It's just blood.
That.
Blood filled it.
Oh, man.
I got another story.
Your penis could have turned black?
That would
be awesome.
This is a recent one. In jiu-jitsu class, I didn't used to roll with a cup on, you know, when you spar, because you're not, like, kicking and punching each other, just choking each other. And I got kneed, like, right on the shaft. Not really in the whole junk,
right.
But right in the above. And it hurt so bad. But I thought, you know what? It's just pain. You know, don't be a pussy. Get back in there. So I go back in, you know, after I shake it off. And I go into the locker room after it's over. And my jockstrap's filled with blood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, filled with blood.
Wow.
And I pull my jockstrap down. It's dripping out of the pee hole. And I'm like, okay. So now.
Did you go to the hospital?
No, it's like 11 o'clock at night because it's an 8:30 class and we're done. I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Do I go to the hospital? And then I'm like, okay, what would I do if this is my nose? If it was my nose, I would just go home. It would be no big deal. I'm like, am I freaking out because this is my unit?
Yes, and you should be.
But then I'm like, well, how do I know what to do? I go, you know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to think about this. I'm going to be rational. So I get home. It's still dripping blood in my underwear. So I do the rational thing, which is to see if I can get an erection. So I masturbate.
No, you did not.
And
see if it worked?
Yeah, it worked fine. And so
these
you say
details.
That?
No, you can't.
No,
all right.
Can't say that. Let's just talk about it. It bled every time I had to take a leak for 3 days. Blood was dripping out.
But it was fine.
I was like, look, it doesn't hurt. I know what happened. I got hit. What are they going to do? They gut me like a fish
and then stitch
it up on the inside. Like, yo, if it gets infected, I'm going to know.
But like,
if I start hurting.
Like the other guy you were talking about that got hit in the ring, and he said he wanted to stop. And then the guy said, do you want to stop? When you get put to you that way, do you want to quit? You can't say yes.
You can't say yes.
You have to keep going.
Especially these guys. Your mind is playing all these crazy tricks on you at that moment. There's 16,000 people watching him. Plus, there's, you know, millions around the world, and his whole family's there. And it's just like all his teammates are there in the corner, and he's thinking about it. It's like, man, I can't quit.
You got to
go out on your shield. And he went out on his shield, you know, with a smashed in nose. I couldn't imagine. Fighting without a smashed in nose is hard enough, but when you can't breathe and this old dude is just beating
your
ass.
Your whole head would just be throbbing. Yeah.
And you're losing the fight anyway. It's like,
but at least Couture kept hitting it. That was like, oh,
there's no mercy in Randy Couture's
eyes. How many hits can he take?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, not only that, Couture did it with a broken arm.
I didn't know that.
He blocked Gonzaga's kick in the third round and broke his forearm.
Wow.
Snapped it. The ulna, the smaller one of the two bones in your forearm.
And he kept fighting, too?
And he punched him with it after he broke it. He was punched him in the face with a broken arm, man. That's crazy.
Well, the next fight coming up is Chuck Liddell. We'll talk a little bit more about that along with Joe Rogan. He's going to be playing at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach next Friday, 1 week from tonight. At 8 and 10:15, and you can get tickets by calling 310-372-1190. Joe Rogan is here. He's going to be playing next Friday, 1 week from today, at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, 8 o'clock, 10:15. You only do like one night now, that's it?
Well, no, I do. It's just this is because of the UFC's in town that weekend, and Saturday night we have the UFC, but okay. I usually do the whole weekend.
So Friday night you're going to be there. Saturday night you're going to be at UFC 76 yes. Knockout. Chuck Liddell versus Keith Jardine. And how's that fight going to go?
Oh, that's a tough fight because both guys are coming off big knockout losses. But Chuck Liddell supposedly has been taking this fight very, very seriously. And Keith Jardine was thought to be a really top contender until he fought this guy, Houston Alexander, who, like, prison raped him. Yeah. that guy's got, like, a prison build, man. This guy is so badass. He gives you a minute of fury. This guy, Houston Alexander, 35 years old. Ready for a crazy story? How about 6 kids that he takes care of by himself?
Really?
What? Yeah, his daughter had kidney problems. He had to donate a kidney to his daughter. So he fights with one kidney. He's got 6 kids. He raises them by himself, and he fights in a cage. And he runs them like military style. Sends them off to like football and like ballet classes and all this different thing. He organizes everything.
He probably brought them to one fight and said, "Watch this and see if you want to disobey me." Right?
Well, he's had like 200 amateur fights in these not really amateur, but they have these small shows in the Midwest where they have like he's a DJ, so he'll like spin records and then fight someone 5 hours later. Like, they have clubs where they have MMA. Like, they have a lot undocumented fights. And this is what they're claiming from him, that he's had as many as 200 fights. But he's had as many as 5 in a night. Five fights in a night. Yeah. Because they'll pay you for a fight. They'll pay you like a few $100 for a fight that you win.
Oh, and he's got six kids.
So he's like, well, I could just knock 5 dorks out and, you know, make $2,000 tonight.
I mean, that makes sense because, the urgency to which he gave a beating to Keith Jardine. I'd never seen anything like that in, like, professional fighting. It was...
It's wild animal style.
It was just a real beating. I mean...
It's like pit bull style.
Because if he's fighting five fights in a night, he doesn't have time to sit around and take a beating.
The dude, he doesn't even look like a fighter, like the way he's built. He's too big. He looks like a prison build.
Is he
just swole, wow, just yoked,
trained?
Oh yeah, he knows how to fight for sure. But he's just so intense. Like when he weighs in, like everybody, like they weigh in, they're all athletes, they're all like incredibly built, everybody. But when he weighs in, you're watching all these other killers in their underwear, and you see Houston Alexander weigh in, everybody goes, "God damn!" Like, who's that guy fighting? His back just looks like a male lion's. He's just got all these extra muscles in there, and he stand there, and I'm like, wow, that guy. You know, who knows whether or not he can survive in deep water, because a lot of those guys will gas when you're built like that.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's a lot of muscle, a lot of blood. That's not built for endurance. But can you get through that minute of fury?
Yeah,
can you
kidding.
Get through that minute of him swarming on you like he's trying to kill you?
Wait that out. Jeez. You could be all right.
And that was Keith Jardine's big mistake, because he went after this guy like this guy was just a nobody. This is this guy's first fight in the UFC. But he didn't know this guy's like 200 amateur fights, 6 kids to feed, and that guy beat Keith Jardine's ass.
Wow.
He beat his ass. It was a rough fight to watch.
Who else is fighting?
So this is his comeback.
I've never seen anything like that in pro fighting, where he was just holding a guy up and just delivering.
He crushed him. Okay, he picked him up with an uppercut. Yeah. He hit him with an uppercut so hard. You see his body like go up in the air, and then his whole body collapsed.
I saw him fake that in Rocky. I saw that when he faked when he jumped up when he was supposedly getting lifted up by the uppercut.
How crazy is our culture that we did a Rocky 6? He's 6'0".
You know. And Rambo, too, by the way.
Well, you know
Rambo.
What? At least, you know, I can understand, like, an old soldier that's still out there jacking people. But an old boxer fighting a young black guy? What planet is this taking place on? That's amazing, man.
Who else is fighting next Saturday night besides the...
Actually, the Shogun fight is a fantastic fight. This is Shogun, who's a new acquisition from Pride, who is a badass dude. Stop Quentin Rampage Jackson in the first round.
Dude.
He's a killer, and he's from the Shootbox team in Brazil, and this is his first fight in the UFC, and he's fighting Forrest Griffin. Forrest Griffin was beaten by Keith Jardine, and Keith Jardine, that's when he was on this roll before he met Houston Alexander. He thought Houston was like a punk, and he was just going to walk all over him, and Forrest has learned from the Keith Jardine fight. It's like you can't take anybody lightly in this sport. Any one of those guys, you make a mistake, and they can get knocked out. Anyone.
It's so, just a half a second mistake, too. It doesn't have to be anything big.
It's those crazy little tiny gloves. It's like you can't really predict anything. Like you can say, this is what I think is probably going to happen, but yeah, anything can happen. If like to be a guy who analyzes these fights, there's only a couple rules. Don't bet against Randy. That's one rule. But even that, Randy's been knocked out twice by Chuck Liddell. I mean, it's like it's a crazy sport.
And then you get in and interview in the ring as well. And
I interview them. It's a weird gig because like I do the commentary and everything, and like some of them get mad at me.
Because you say certain things?
Yeah, you know, like, what'd you say, get my ass kicked? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
You were listening to that?
All that, the other dude on top of you punching you in the face stuff that was going on. And you're like, I don't, sorry.
What do you think that was?
I'm just calling it, man. I didn't kick your ass. I didn't have anything to do with it. I wasn't telling him, you should kick that guy's ass. Like, he had planned on kicking your ass for 6 weeks. You know,
yeah, that was all him,
for a
not
long
you.
Time.
But you thought it was going to happen, so they should take
sometimes.
It out on you, right?
Yeah, sometimes dudes get mad if I predict things too, so I try. Especially, especially if I'm wrong.
All right, so next Friday it's the Comedy and Magic Club. Next Saturday it's the Honda Center for UFC 76 Knockout. Chuck Liddell and Keith Jardine.
Tickets available for the fights. You got to get them now because they go crazy. The last few days it gets nuts, and I don't want to hear any calls from people.
Dude, Joe, I met you this one time.
Yeah. Oh, I get crazy calls from people's cousins and stuff.
You want to stick around for another break? We're going
to
take some phone calls.
Would love to.
Kevin Means What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. If you talk about UFC or anything else, you can call now and we'll put you on the air and give you a prize next. Time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right. For getting on the air today, you get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Good Luck Chuck, starring Dane Cook and Jessica Alba, in theaters next Friday. Let's begin with Andy, who's got a question that Joe might be able to answer. Good morning, Andy.
How you doing?
Good. What's
hey,
going
Andy.
On?
All right. Hey, Joe, I was wondering if Chuck Liddell wins next Saturday, will his opponent be Vanderlei Silva in December?
Yes, that's the plan. The plan is if Chuck gets by Keith Jardine, that he fights Vanderlei at the Christmas show, which is like December 28th. 28th or 20th? I think it's 29th, actually.
It'll be for sure, though.
Unless he gets injured, you know, unless something gets hurt. But if he loses
Jardine,
this...
What if Jardine beats him?
If Jardine beats him, it's possibly Jardine Vanderlei. That's possible.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Why do you say that? Why do you say, oh, no?
Chuck Liddell fan.
Oh, you're a Chuck fan?
No, I'm a Vanderlei fan.
You're a
Vanderlei? I wouldn't want to see Vanderlei waste a fight against Jardine.
What do you mean waste a fight, dude? If the guy beats Chuck Liddell, the guy can fight, man. Keith Jardine is no joke, dude. He knocked out Forrest Griffin. Look, he's a tough dude. He looked like dog do against Houston Alexander, but I think he made a mistake. You know, I think he just rushed into that dude and he got hit with some big shots. He's still tough, man. Him against Vanderlei would be a crazy scrap.
You're right, Joe. He is a tough guy, but I don't know. I'd rather see him fight Tito or Rampage or Dan Henderson again, you know?
No, those would all be good fights, man. I think the Jardine fight, though, would be a great introduction to the UFC fans for Vanderlei Silva. And you know what? So would the Chuck fight. That would be a crazy fight.
Let's say good morning to Isaac in Ontario. Isaac, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks, man. I just wanted to talk to Joe about the HDNet, them getting the exclusive with UFC.
HDNet, for those of you who don't know, is it's... DirecTV, right? It's high def DirecTV.
Yeah. Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban's.
He's got Mark Cuban's got his own show too that he's putting together.
Yeah, and it's all HD. And actually, this technology is getting really, really more crisp, and it's making things way more immersive. And probably in the future, it's probably going to get total immersion. And that's because of nanotechnology. And Mark Cuban, actually, I believe he's a conspiracy factualist, and he really kind of knows about these technological advances.
Where are you buying your weed, dude?
Yeah, no kidding. I want some.
he went all over the map, bro.
I want some of
them. I was waiting for a pause and then him go, what were we talking about?
I read your blog, Joe, and you talk about...
Don't read Joe's blog. He's crazy.
The Mayans and all that. And I think that goes with technology. Everybody should start looking.
The idea of the exponential increase of technology. Yeah,
exactly.
It's the Terrence McKenna novelty theory. Is that the idea is that we're working towards something, and that our appetite for innovation, all the reason why people are constantly creating new and more powerful technologies, is that we're building towards a singularity, some ultimate form of novelty.
Exactly.
Whether it's a time machine or whether it's some insane thing that we can never figure out, like some incredible portal to another dimension. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a particle collider that they're building right now that's 25 miles long. 25 miles long. It's a machine that slams electrons and positrons into each other
at insane speed. The machine is 25
miles. 25 miles.
This stuff is way above
my pay
grade.
They're building black holes.
I'll tell you that.
They're making black holes with this.
We're actually going to have the power to have black hole. Everybody in the future will have quantum computers on PC, personal PCs.
Do you think by next year?
No. Maybe that's what 2012 is, the Mayan calendar date. Who knows?
By the way, I don't think I would have wanted to see that couture fight in high def. I think the way
bloody.
I saw it was good enough.
Yeah, you don't want to see the fear like leaking out of his eyes.
Oh, God.
You know, when you get that close-up, man, that... You know, that super high def is creepy, man.
It is. It's way, way, way clear.
It's weird when you, like, see people on TV and you see all the makeup on them on the high def. You're like, whoa, that's weird. Like,
it looks bad.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's
funny.
We're all new.
We're all watching Lisa just go crazy.
That's pretty awful.
Trying to drive her nuts. Jim in Lake Forest. Good morning. Let's change the topic.
What'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What'd it do, Jim?
Hey, have you guys heard this Sunday on the Emmys, Britney Spears is supposed to be on there to apologize about her performance at the VMAs.
What's she going to say? I'm sorry I was fat?
I guess
so. Oh, snap.
Are you kidding?
No.
Don't you know to leave Britney alone?
Where did you hear that?
Yeah, we know.
It's actually on
She's just
on
a human being.
And you have to go through that guy if you want to talk to her now.
Yeah.
He's established a protocol.
I doubt they're going to put her on the Emmys, frankly.
They should have that dude. That dude should be hired. If Britney was really smart, she would hire that dude. And have that guy would be her mouthpiece.
Yeah, that'd be
he
awesome.
He would stand in front of her and talk.
Longest talk, give me more for a reason. Because all you people want is more, 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 more. Leave her alone. You're lucky she even performed for you bastards.
Wow, that guy's magic.
You can't make that in a movie,
you really
man.
Can't.
That's got to be
Because no
real.
One would believe it. You'd
no
go,
one.
No way.
Impossible.
Leave Britney alone. Please.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Oh.
And Jimmy asked him because he's got a lot of like internet like comedy pieces.
Right.
So Jimmy asked him if this was just a joke. And he said, no, this is the one thing I'm serious about, which I didn't believe for a second. I think it's just an actor that's just out of his mind.
I don't think so, man. Well, maybe.
So?
Maybe it was like he was channeling all of his life's frustrations into that one thought.
Could be.
Yeah. And it just all the crying.
It overwhelmed him.
But it was so beautiful because it couldn't be gayer because he was lying on his back in bed with rumpled sheets and mascara leaking down the side of his face, screaming and crying.
In his parents' house, by the way. I also found out on Jimmy's. Show, yeah.
Fantastic.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
There's such a special gay quality that some guys possess where it's like, it's not just gay, but it's like gay wanting to be a girl gay.
Yeah, we weren't sure at first.
There's a certain way of talking, a user and a cheater.
I don't think you'll ever have that.
It's impossible.
He might already be a girl for all we know.
Yeah, he's growing a vagina if he keeps talking like that. Right where his taint is.
I'm offended,
it's
by the way.
He's going to start creeping out.
We don't want him.
All right.
We don't want him. Our team woman.
You don't want him?
We really don't.
Too bad.
Team XX Chromosome says no.
Joe Rogan again is playing next Friday night, September 21st, 1 week from today, at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. The number again is 310-372-1193. There's two shows on Friday night, and then he's doing the UFC 76 knockout, Chuck Liddell versus Keith Jardine on Saturday night, and that's at the Honda Center. And if you want to get tickets for that, get them quickly because it sounds like they go really quickly.
Yeah,
and
if
you don't get them,
out.
Then try and get a hold of Joe. He's got a ton of them.
I got 1,000.
So he'd be more than happy to give those to you.
Cool.
All right. Thank you for coming in, Joe.
Thanks
we appreciate
for having
it.
Always
have a good
pleasure.
One.
It over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
tonic is chronic.
Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Smoke weed.
And I need another hit.
She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. She's got Finger 11, a new song called Paralyzer. She's got Rilo Kiley. She's got Incubus, Rancid, Muse, Bad Religion, and a whole lot more. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Roll. Roll another one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about.
You know, I got some weed at work today.
I don't
know
what to try it out.
The best tonic is chronic.
Print gay.
This is an utter failure. We need to end it and let these boys go home.
It is time to go, and to go now.
Toodaloo. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen. Ciao. Ding dong day.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.